What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Smitchy.
This is Mini Del Mato.
And this is Ender's Logic. I thought we just agreed that we were going to use our game names, but no.
Yeah,
actually, I just said it. Nobody agreed.
Wait, Bobby called himself Bobby?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is getting even more weird now that I get older and older, still going by Bobby. Like, that's, I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to make the switch to Robert at some point. Not Bob. Absolutely not Bob.
Yeah, Bob, you don't fit.
Bob is not a good, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
And then there's Bob.
Robert.
Like, it's always like, it's almost always negative.
Bob the dickhead.
His dad is Bob. Careful.
Oh. Yeah, no, Bob just reminds me of my dad, and it just sounds like a...
Every time.
Every time. Every episode.
I'm late to the show, guys. Sorry.
What about Robbie? There's
Robbie 280s.
Rob,
I don't know. It sounds like I'm trying too hard to be cool.
Roberto.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. I don't know. If I get a tan.
Roberto.
I don't know. Bobby just sounds like a kid from the 50s, like in a communist PSA, like some guy would be talking to you like, "Well, Bobby, you know, like, wasn't the kid, you know where I'm getting that from? There was a kid in, what was that movie with the spaceship? The Day the Earth Stood Still. I think that kid's name was Bobby. I don't know. To me, it just always sounds like a juvenile name.
Yeah.
I think I've told
you. You're a pretty serious dude.
Yeah, it doesn't fit my name.
No. Really. Robert totally does.
Yeah.
I could see you. Maybe it's time.
Maybe.
Is today the day?
Well, then you have to change your last name if you're changing our first name into something like Mr. Funko or...
I don't know.
Mr. Bandai.
Well, I like a binary.
Is it time
Robbie
for Robert
robot.
Hood?
I like that one.
Robbie the Robot?
Yeah.
Robbie the Robot was an actual... Flight of the Navigator. Where did that come from?
You said the movie with the spaceship.
Oh, no. I'm talking way old. Yeah, it was... The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original one. The kid's name was Bobby in that.
That's the black and white one? I never saw that one.
Mm-hmm. They remade it with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about my name. Flight of the Navigator did have a spaceship in it, though. So
I don't even know what that is.
Flight of the Navigator?
Wow, dude.
Okay. That's
the one where he plays the video game, right?
No, that's Last Starfighter.
Yeah. Oh, Last Starfighter.
Yeah. Which is actually
Flight of the Navigator
movie.
was a
great
movie
concept.
About...
Yeah.
Yeah, good concept. They kind of redid it in that Future Man. Whoa.
What?
Holy shit.
Holy shit, Noober.
Coming with the $50.
Boom.
Hell yeah.
Right into my pocket.
Dude.
Thanks, dude.
That thing is too small for me to read.
We're good.
Okay, we're good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And the MVP for Listener of the Year goes to Noober 13. Thank you so much for that fat donation. Much appreciated. You're the best.
All right, we all just became titillated.
We're off to a good start.
Yep.
Let's get through these announcements quick so we can start talking about video games. I feel like we did 5 minutes on my name and that like people are already tuning out.
You just don't like attention on
yourself. I do want to add in something. If you're watching us on Twitch, which is digital_logic, you can tell that we zoomed in a little bit better. So it's, you know, more people, less wall. It's pretty nice. And since we got a donation, I think, you know how... I know in volleyball, whenever somebody got an ace or did a really good play, we did those like clapping hand signals and stuff. Maybe we can
kind of like a Red Lobster birthday thing going on.
Something, I guess. Maybe we could do something so that way we can up the video quality a little
bit. I've always liked to moan when Pumbaa's like aching for a bacon song.
Or what? No, not the music. Like something that we do.
I wanted to sing.
Yeah, usually on
I sing like an angel.
Streams they have.
We should
like
be using this ability.
They do.
Yeah, like when I get a follower, I give the camera a smooch. You know, so that's kind of like my visual cue on something.
An air smooch. You're not actually like putting your lips on the camera.
No. Yeah. I have before, but no, not on
drunk.
The regular. But that's. But no, I think we should do something fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off air.
All right. So
not in front of the children.
We got 100 iTunes reviews, right? That was our goal. We got 103, actually.
Right.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So Mr. 100 is going to get $20 guaranteed. And then I think we'll do the other ones in maybe other increments. Maybe 150 in there and another 30.
Number one is Deaster.
Deaster.
So Deaster, hit us up in Discord.
Yeah, send me a PM, a private message, and a DM, and I'll take care of you. And the other ones we're going to have to do We're not going to do it live because we didn't think about it before, but I will find out who won, and I will give those out as well. Maybe next episode, because you're going to have to contact me unless you put your name in your review. Anyway, thank you so much. iTunes rules the world when it comes to podcasts. We didn't make the world. We just live in it. So thank you for that. I know it's difficult.
Absolutely. All right. And we've got a listener interview coming up that many of you did this week.
Yeah. I believe it was, it was Friday night. Did a listener interview. It's a new segment we're trying to do. Get to know the listeners and what game they are playing that we
it's
just
not
don't
a new,
have.
It's not a new segment.
Listen, G.
It's got a new segment.
I'm listening to you like say it wrong.
When was
it's not
time?
A new segment.
We got a new spin on it.
It is a new.
When did we do it?
It's a new spin on an old segment.
So what this is, what we're doing here. Is a games that we don't have time to play that you guys are interested in. So we don't have enough time to review all the games that you guys love. So we're just trying to get listeners' inputs on games that they are really passionate about.
Yeah, if you got like over 100 hours in a game, like we'd love to hear about it, especially if it's something we haven't talked about in depth.
A good old hard sell, hard sell them.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
So,
I like that.
Go
like
ahead and send.
Spin.
Yeah, send Minnie a DM there, and you can get on that list.
Doesn't have to be me. It can be anyone else. If you want to be interviewed by someone else,
if you want a response,
except
DM
Emilio
Minnie.
Never responds.
Yeah. Well, no, Emilio's response. Like in terms of, I feel like I'm the bad student. The Asian girl's the bad student out of all of us. So
weird.
I hope we get some really obscure games. Like, I want to talk to the guy who spent 200 hours in Train Simulator.
Dude, Jens played, was it King's Bounty? I think that, like, 2D game, like, real basic. He's played, like, 400 or 500 hours of it.
Is that King's Bounty? Or are you talking about Sir Arthur's Gold or what?
Yeah. King Arthur's Gold.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. King.
I tried it and I was like, what the fuck am I playing? But, you know, he's put in the time.
Yeah.
And he's a smart dude.
It's
so
like, Terraria. I've never seen this. Mm-hmm.
So there's like two teams and they go at each other. It's basically TF2, I think, but it's 2D. You got different classes and you go against each other and you're trying to kill each other's like power source or something like that. With a lot of Terraria,
okay,
because you could burrow under or go over or just kill. I don't get it, but he loves it.
So it's live action combat. That's cool. It's not turn based or anything like Worms.
No.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. What's new with Diplo?
Oh, Diplo just gave away. They're giving away games on our Discord server. So wanted to shout that out. Thanks for you guys. They want to do that a little more regularly. So if you guys want to get some free games, like non-budget games, like some actual good games, hit us up on Discord. And I don't know how often they're doing this, but Steven Iver said he wants to do it more often with us.
Yeah, I think he gave away The Long Dark.
Yeah, The Long Dark was the latest one.
So his name's Bobby's not digging. Sniper, it's CN Sniper.
No, it's Sniper, but
it's so hard. It's so hard for me to make that jump.
It's capital C, capital N, and I'm just like C Sniper.
It's like calling me Smokchi or Smokai. People call me Kai so much.
And we have two new Patreons, but I'm a dickhead. I didn't bring my phone down here, so I don't remember who they are, but I'll give you a shout out next week, I promise.
And what do they get for becoming our Patreon?
They will be getting, thank you, Chi. Mm-hmm. They will be getting t-shirts. I think they're both $10 ones. So they'll be getting t-shirts and then maybe in three months, another t-shirt. I say maybe just because like, I'm terrible at things. All right. By the way, it's time for a new t-shirt. So we need somebody to design a new one. Maybe some
pick
ideas.
Pick me.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the most weeb t-shirt ever.
And so on the radar, yeah?
Yeah, let's talk about some games that have caught our eye this week. So one that I noticed, and I think a lot of other people did as well, was Surviving Mars. Now, this game was on the front page of Steam. They even had people streaming it. They had this whole event going on during its release, and it looks like a really good game. So it's a simulation game. And
sorry, Bobby. So you said they were streaming it, like Steam was streaming it? Or
it was streaming on Steam, yeah. When I pulled up the page, like they had a whole huge banner ad on it,
right,
on Steam. And then when I clicked on that, there was actually a live stream inside of Steam, which I had never seen before.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Surviving Mars.
That's cool.
So this game's kind of expensive at $39.99, which is why I didn't pick it up right away. But at some point, I think I will. So it looks like a city builder game, but it's on Mars, and you're trying to, you know, establish a colony there. You have to deal with the Martian atmosphere, and I'm sure everything else. People are comparing it to City Skylines a lot. This looks like a game I would absolutely love. It's been a while since I've got into one of these city builder games.
Cool.
Did you get into the reason of the mixed reviews?
No, I didn't really check the reviews here.
Yeah, because when I looked into it, they were favorable. So I don't see like an 80% on Metacritic. That's pretty good. They might as well call this Elon Musk simulator. And that's his. He says he'll have a spaceship going to Mars by next year.
Jeez,
no way! That's awesome.
Yeah, and he was talking about like how they're going to run their government and all this stuff already. So
he's talking about colony.
Yeah, well,
that's how you get ahead. You have to just think
way ahead
and have your
he's your our generation's
your
Edison.
Perception only on the future. The past is...
Or Tesla.
Leave the past behind. Focus on that.
Well, now
future.
That Stephen Hawking died, we have room for another.
Yeah. And what's cool about this is it's kind of in the zeitgeist right now. Like, people are thinking about this actively. And I think they struck while the iron's hot. You know, they came out with something while people are thinking about this. I'm thinking about it. Hmm. Hey, would you guys go?
To Mars?
Yeah, there's probably like an 80% chance you're going
to
die.
Yeah, I'm going to be too old to really care, I guess, when by the time, there. Or if we're even alive, by the time they have civilians.
No, let's say it's next year, and they you were going to go on the first one. No, Bobby, would you go?
No way.
I wouldn't have the money for that.
No, it's free.
Free?
It's free, but you're giving up your entire
colonists. Sign me up.
Yeah, you would go? Minnie?
I would like to be in orbit. I would not like to go to Mars.
I think I'd go. Yeah.
Yeah.
My name would be in the record books even if it blew up. But Elon Musk said even the first, he's like, you're probably going to die. But yeah, hundreds of thousands of people.
I mean, you're definitely going to die. Yeah. We're all definitely going to die.
Regardless. Yeah, yeah.
So you
but
die
one
on
could be in a fucking rocket ship, and the other one could be, I don't know, fucking throwing up into a toilet or whatever, how people die.
And then Rhythm Max makes a really good point. He says it's like the Expanse, the game. Running with the MCRN, which if you haven't seen that show yet, I highly recommend it.
It's good.
And on
Amazon
Twitch
Prime.
Chat, Splinter Shism says he was one of the new Patreons. So,
oh, cool,
yeah,
man.
So shout out to you. Thank you
shout
so
out.
Much.
Guess what? No shout out for you next week.
Just used up your shout out. So yeah, at $40, I mean, I'm probably going to hold off on that for a little while. These are always very involved games. Like, you have to commit a lot of time to first learning this game, then playing it, then perfecting it. These are the types of games that you spend like the first 2 hours just learning the ropes, and then you have to completely restart because you realized everything that you did wrong.
You know, it's funny. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been shitting all over tutorials. But when it comes to these kind of games, you absolutely need one, like a good one, really good
one. And it's really
one.
Tough when you go back to these types of games. Like City Skylines, I'd love to revisit, but I would be so lost. I would have to start from the beginning. Basically.
The nice thing about it, though, now is that YouTube probably has better tutorials on games than what comes default with your copy of the game.
That's
the reason why is
sometimes.
Because people... good tutorials out there.
A lot of the YouTube channels you look up, you end up dealing with a lot of fluff. Yeah. Like, you ever try to look up a how-to video on YouTube?
That's the word,
but if you find somebody that you like, well, there's no guarantee he's going to make every game. But
here's the best way to do this, and I see very few people doing this. Like, if you're going to do an instructional video on anything, like how to fix your sink, like plumbing repairs or anything, or maybe not that type of stuff, but like I look up a lot of tutorials on video editing. First, show the end product. Like, show what it is that you're trying to do. Because sometimes I'll watch a whole tutorial and I'll realize that's not exactly what I'm looking for. I was looking for something a little different.
So explain how you would do that. What do you mean, Bobby? Like, how you search
for
it?
So, like, I'll look up a YouTube video on how to, like, create a certain effect in Adobe After Effects.
Sure.
And then I'll watch the whole tutorial and I'll realize, oh, that's not the effect I'm
Correct.
Looking for.
Yeah, so what do you do to change that? How do you
find? Show at the very beginning of the video, you show just like the end product. Like when you're done with all your little tweaking here, doing this, typing in that. And
I see.
Make your effect. Like show what you're trying to do. Usually in the thumbnail, they'll show that, but thumbnails can be very misleading.
I thought you were talking about the searching side, not the creating side. So you're telling people out there that make how-to videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe one person. Thanks. So,
there's this guy, Drake Fos. He's on YouTube. He does tutorials for Counter-Strike. He does just like smokes and flashes and Molotov, just how to do grenades. Mm-hmm. And he is very to the point. His videos are not more than like a minute 30, And he's just like, hey guys, Drake Foles here. And this is how you do this throw. Boom. Doing this throw. And he just like, he can do like five throws within 20 seconds and shows exactly where they land. And he's just really quick. He's like, okay guys, bye. And that's it. Like a minute and a half, you know.
In and out.
Just, he's so quick.
And you need to be with the Counter-Strike audience. Well, they're not going to sit around.
I understand why that's stuff. You don't see a lot of that because it's not really that marketable. Like people are looking more for entertainment value. So I understand why people don't do that. And, you know, they got a brand and all that other shit. So it's unfortunate, but yeah. It's like when I used to watch a lot of game reviews by this one group of guys, and they're very to the point, but they're very small, and they weren't that entertaining, but it was really like smart stuff that they would comment on. Yeah, it's a bit of a trade-off. So Surviving Mars, I guess we'll wait on that one. We'll see. This is not in early access, though. This is like straight up released.
Wow.
If I was...
That doesn't happen anymore.
I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? You're paying to play, whether it's in early access or
Yeah, but it just doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, but early access, really, usually...
I see what she's saying, though. Like, it's basically semantics, right? Like, it's out, it's not out, it's in early access, it's whatever. Like, you're playing it... I don't know.
You're paying money to play.
Yeah, you paid money
it's
to
basically
play it.
What they say. It's up to them to say 1.0 or 1.0.5. Like it's just it's semantics. And when they choose to release it to the public, I'm not a sim player, and this definitely perked my interest. But Bobby and I are having a family sharing problem. I don't know what's going on. His library is not showing up on my computer. We tried to fix it today. It's not working out.
You didn't find the divorce papers library. In your email yet?
Cheese library is not showing up on your computer either. So there's something going on. Only Minnie's is. I don't know what you did, Minnie.
I don't know.
He's special.
Special
he's a new wife.
I guess I'll get this other game out of the way. This is another one that I noticed. It was actually on PC Gamer's website. It is not... does not have a release date. It's called Rico, R-I-C-O, all caps.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm guessing that's like
that looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. It's a first-person shooter, procedurally generated. Yeah, cel-shaded.
Oh, procedurally generated too, huh?
Co-op. So you grind your way through levels. It's got like a bullet time effect. It looks just like classic shoot 'em up.
It's like a realistic cel-shaded, not like a Borderlands cel-shaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more on the realistic side.
Wow.
Oh, it looks
and
like
the action looks
though.
The action looks really cool.
It almost seems like there might be a roguelike element. So it's procedurally generated first person action movie shooter. You play as a loose cannon police detective given 24 hours to crack a case as part of an elite organized crime task force. Play solo or partner up with a friend, online co-op. So I'm pretty sure Rico, the name, is like an allusion to the Rico Act or has something to do with that. It must be if it's,
it's a little strange because all of the shootouts in this game seem to start in the same fashion. You kick through a door, it goes into slow-mo, and everything seems slow-mo virtually.
Yeah, it's very Hotline Miami in that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like a first-person shooter, Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, definitely looks fucking cool.
Yeah, no price on it, no release date.
Looks very repetitive, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Looks like they're playing on controller, just their movements.
So was Hotline Miami to a certain effect, but the difficulty in that gave it some replayability.
Yeah. If you can start over right away, that'd be like in Hotline Miami where it doesn't really matter where you die because you're
super hot. Compare this to super hot.
I got to play that. Fuck. Keep forgetting about super hot.
Oh, super hot was good. It's short, but it's good. Yeah. So those are the two games that caught my eye this week. What about you guys?
The only thing that I've seen coming up is Sonic Mania Plus and Sonic Mania Adventure. So they're doing two things with Sonic. With that game Sonic Mania, they're making Sonic Mania Plus. And this is kind of like a new game plus. They're going to be introducing new characters, I believe new levels. And it's kind of just like a bonus edition Sonic. And if you own the original game, you can upgrade. I don't know how much it is, they haven't said, but there will be an upgraded version. And if you don't have it, then there's going to be like the final price of the game when it's released. They won't have Sonic Mania anymore, just Sonic Mania Plus, from what I understand.
Okay.
They need to, more developers need to take notice of how they did this. Because when you put out a Plus or whatever, an EX version of a game, if you just charge $2 or $3, the difference in the price... to people that already have it, you're gonna sell a bunch of that as opposed to having this other version that costs. You're not gonna pay for a game twice. Hardly anybody is. I don't. Would you guys pay like the cost plus the addition for the better version when you already have the single version?
No, definitely not.
Like Divinity Original Sin just gave it to you for free.
Yeah,
which that was awesome. Edition. Yeah,
I did it for Skyrim.
What's that?
I did it for Skyrim.
Oh yeah, was it free? Or they paid charged?
You paid
the difference.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like it already really exists out there via DLC and on Steam.
It needs to happen.
Steam does it, but
well, Skyrim had a period
when
of time
when it comes to hard copies.
Didn't they have like a period special of time edition where you could buy the special edition at a reduced cost if you own the original version?
Yes.
Yeah. It just needs to happen more than it is right now.
Isaac do it? Because they had a plus version.
No, you always have to buy the new one.
That was very confusing.
It was completely a new game with different levels, though, other than...
Yeah,
it's almost similar, like a continuation on Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, I never had an issue with price. Nothing they've sold has ever been over $14.99, so... And you get hundreds of hours of content.
So,
hey, do you want to interview me about Binding of Isaac?
Yeah, I would love to. You got some hours in that game?
About 600.
But it's all deleted now, so it doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah.
Sonic Mania Adventure. This is actually just going to be like a YouTube series. So if you played Sonic Mania, they had like the really cool style intro. And now they're going to make a small YouTube series with just Sonic, like a Saturday morning cartoon type thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, I definitely loved it.
He used to have his own cartoon, right?
Yeah, he did, where he ate a bunch of chili dogs. That was his thing.
Chili dogs.
Yeah.
Hmm. Chili dogs.
Yeah. Was that in the game?
No, it wasn't in the game. Just
what
in the show.
What a weird move. God damn.
They just wanted some kind of like weird thing.
I feel like people are
with
just
a side of onion rings?
Starting to understand.
So those are actually onion rings. He's collecting when he's going out for his chili dogs.
You remember the Super Mario cartoon? I actually own a season of it on Steam. Someone told me, and I've never really bothered to verify this, or maybe I haven't forgot, but someone told me that Millie and Vanilli were featured guest stars on one of those episodes.
I can see that.
Yeah, it was around the right time.
I don't know who that is.
Wow. Jesus. It's so weird. They were singers, but...
They got caught for... For lip syncing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was the original, what was her name on SNL? Don't do this to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Brittany's the only one I can think
of. No, the one on SNL that got caught lip syncing.
Oh, yeah. The other Simpson girl.
Yeah.
Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson.
Yeah. So Millie and Vanilli was like the original one of those. There's YouTube footage of it. You look it up on YouTube. They got caught. And it was like the butt of everyone's joke for like a while.
So what's next on the list?
Skyrim VR.
Oh yeah. I just want to bring this up because, two things are kind of coming together at the same time for me in my head. The new headset's coming out, which is going to be $1,000.
And is it the HTC?
The HTC, the Vive 2. I don't know what they're going to call it, but when that comes out and now there's Skyrim VR, I've already spent like 300 hours in Skyrim, but if I could do it in VR and they pull it off, I've heard preliminary people talk about it, and apparently it's stellar, because I don't know how you get around, but it's not that teleporting mechanic that really
takes you
out of the, you know, immersion. It's not immersive at all. Mm-hmm. So they do it some other way. So, God, I hope this is good, and I would love to go back into that world. So these are high hopes for...
It's the perfect game to do VR.
Absolutely.
Skyrim, hands down. Skyrim is probably the game that I've started over more than any other game and never completed. I keep on trying to get back into it and really make progress, but I always get back to around the same point and then I drop it for maybe a multiplayer game. So
I'm very close to beating that dragon right there. I think is where I'm at in my playthrough.
I don't know which one that was.
Is there a dragon that starts with a P?
Yeah. Parthenax.
Yeah, Parthenax. I think that's where I'm at. I hope that's close to the end.
Yeah, that's not too bad. You got maybe
the end.
Alduin is the last one. So Parthenax tells you how to get to Alduin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
And you got to be within 2-3 hours, Bobby, I would guess.
Yeah, and I'm like level 35 or something. I think I'm high enough to be able to beat the game.
But do you even care at this point?
I haven't played Skyrim in years.
You don't really have to be at a high level at all. I think I beat it at like level 18.
Yeah, it all scales. So it doesn't really matter.
Or you could be like level 2 and just sit in the corner and shoot arrows. As long as your sneak level is like... No, just kidding. But yeah, that's like the OP way to play Skyrim.
Dude,
I could never play it that way.
You talking about that, it reminded me of EverQuest when the news, well, like when the DLC came out, like monks, I've talked about monks before, how they can feign death and nothing will attack them. They used to go into way before anybody else could even walk into the zone. They would feign their way deep into the like new zone and like take screenshots for everybody and put them on the internet. And
like
then that's
scouts.
How we found that, like scouts.
Yeah.
And that's how we found out like what it looked like.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would
cool.
they do? They would just go in, feign death and wait for the aggro to
anytime
die.
They aggro. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll stick around too. It'll be like, you better be dead, bitch.
And then, I love that.
Yeah. And then it'll un-aggro and then, yeah. And there is a, like a 1% chance that it's not going to fall for it too.
Oh yeah.
Even if you're completely mastered out. So,
dang.
Yeah. And those people are putting a lot of risk because then you, like I said, you have to pay another monk to go get your body.
Oh man.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Who wants to go first here?
Go ahead, Bob.
All right. I've got a few on there, but it's really not that much. So first I want to give a shout out to this special game that I really like this game. I keep coming back to it. It's called Line, spelt with a Y, L-Y-N-E. This is a very, very simple puzzle game. It's almost like Sudoku. It's kind of addictive, but very simple. And I always play it in between like doing other things. Like I'll show you video here and it just looks so boring.
Is it only on PC or is this also a mobile game?
I would have to imagine it's a mobile game.
Yeah, Chad was playing this on mobile.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. So all you're doing is connecting lines to things and you have to find a path between each of them and they get progressively more difficult. But it's just the simplicity and just being able to pull it up really quick, do one or two, and then go back to something else is what I really enjoy about this. And something that I always come back to. This is a very popular game with a lot of people who are trying to deck out their Steam profile because the achievements on this are just letters.
Yeah.
And people use it to spell things out. They'll do like a showcase on their profile where they can spell something out.
That's cool.
Smart of them.
But this game is what? $3.
It looks relaxing, Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of like a little meditation between rounds.
And it's like light pastels. Nothing about this is aggressive at all.
Yeah, it's a very relaxing game. So I don't know. I know we brought it up on the show years ago, maybe when it came out, but I just want to give a quick shout out to that game too.
Yeah.
But the game
overwhelmingly positive, 6,000 people.
Wow. Yeah.
Good game, I mean, it's not some amazing puzzle game, but it's just the simplicity, the beauty and the simplicity. Like Sudoku. Remember that craze that everybody was playing Sudoku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I don't know why, but it reminds me of that. I guess I will talk about,
Wait, before we move on, this is going to be beep, beep, boop, boop. Bobby's Mobile Corner.
Mobile?
It's a mobile game.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. That was perfect.
Man, I apologize to anyone on Twitch. It looks like we are lagging like crazy, and I'm not sure why.
Restart it?
Yeah, let me restart that.
I'll talk about Pyre. So I played this off of Minis. How much time did you put in?
Roughly 8 hours, probably.
Okay, cool. Do you plan on continuing it? Is it installed?
No.
Wow, after 8, you gave up?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
There's something that happened in the game that I didn't like.
Wow. Okay, cool. Because I'm intrigued at this point. Yeah. So what Pyre is...
Gameplay or storyline related?
Well, the story kind of affects the gameplay. So there's like a decision you have to make, and I just didn't want to make that decision. So I was like, I'm done.
Oh, you had to give
Same
up one of your weapons or something?
Something similar to that.
Something
I was like, what would upset Minnie?
In Fallout 4, yeah. I had to make a decision between the three factions.
Okay.
And I hadn't met the third faction, and I didn't know where to meet them.
Okay.
So I just stopped playing.
No.
It's pretty much the exact same thing. Anyway, let me explain what it is. It's an RPG made by the people who made
Bastion
and...
Transistor,
yeah. So the soundtrack's fantastic. The art is fantastic. It's beautiful.
The voice acting is amazing.
Yeah, even though they're not speaking English most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, the characters aren't.
They have like a voice that they use, yeah.
Yeah, they made a language up for this. You can kind of tell that, you know, they probably had a linguist make something out for them. And it sounds really good. Like, it's a nice sounding language.
Is it like meant to be comical, like Magicka?
There are comical parts, but they are very serious.
Yeah, okay. All their games, I feel like, have a very serious overtone.
Yeah.
I think Bobby was talking about the language, right?
Yeah, the voice.
Oh.
No, not really. It means it's like a serious
language.
Can
you recreate it, Emilio?
What?
Since you're the linguist specialist.
What was that?
Can you recreate the language?
Oh, no. I haven't played it enough. I've only played about an hour and a half.
All right.
Well, I think they all have different languages. Like, they all speak.
But they can understand each other?
Yeah.
Like Star Trek?
Yeah.
For no reason?
Right.
So what makes this RPG different is it's heavily story-oriented. Almost, I would say, maybe even 70% just story. But like
That's
I said,
awesome.
It's beautiful and the music's fantastic. So you don't mind the story so much. And then the fighting or the combat is a live-action game. If I were to say anything, if anybody ever watched American Gladiators, it's kind of like that game where you take a ball and you try to like put it in get it to a goal, basically. And you have three players. You can pass it to each other, and you can knock each other out. And
all I think of when I think of American Gladiator, and forgive me if I'm wrong, is two people with two giant Q-tips.
Yeah, that was like their signature one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the pukal sticks.
But they also had like a football type game. And that's what this is. The only thing I can... It's kind of like soccer, I guess.
Does it feel very sporty
like
then when you're playing?
Type thing, yeah. It's not really... No,
it doesn't
feel
like
it's not
sporty.
A sports game.
Okay, good.
But it is a sport. I mean...
Kind of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it does have a ball, so it makes it a sport, but that's about as close as you'll get.
And passing.
Yeah.
And touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's very sporty, dude, in my opinion.
Well, the reason I say that is because I was having kind of a disagreement with somebody. She was saying it's a sports game. I'm like, it's not a sports game.
So you would be wrong in that argument. So whoever you're arguing with.
I mean, if that's in your eyes, I'm wrong.
Okay.
But this is more like a game of life and death. Not really sport. There is no audience. Nobody's watching you do this. This is two teams in the middle of...
Does it feel like Blitzball, though, at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this sporty game is pretty fun.
Of a desolate wasteland, and you're trying to escape the desolate wasteland.
Sure. Through a sport. And and so it's weird playing an RPG where usually the combat is turn-based, and then you go into this live-action sports game. And I didn't even mean, like, I was going to use that anyway, because you're wrong. and so it's weird. It's I've never played anything like this. And I got to commend and both like a cautionary tale about this developer. So Transistor was all the same things. This is what they're known for, and it's great. Great soundtrack, great look, production value through the roof. Like,
so everything
all goes down the line.
But then A+.
A lot of people hated Transistor because of the mechanics. Super heavy mechanic. They take risks with their mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And this took a huge risk on this mechanic. So if you don't like this game, the game within the game, you're not going to like this game. And that's a huge risk for the developer to take. And also, on the buyer's end, you're taking this risk, like whether or not you're going to enjoy the game within the game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could buy this for $20 or $30, but how do I know if I'm going to like this little basketball game that's inside of it? So I enjoy it for now. I've only played an hour and a half. I will talk to you next week and see if it continues.
That kind of makes me wonder, you know how games have beta access and everything else? Why don't early access releases allow you to play, and actually some early access releases
games?
Allow you to play the game up to a certain point, but without charging you the full price of the game?
The demo.
Why not just like a demo? No, like a classic demo,
yeah,
I suppose.
They don't do that anymore.
But with a small amount. So how
they
many?
Could so
it's
easily
almost like
do
a
it
tiny
on.
Kickstarter where,
yeah,
you could throw in $2.
Yeah.
Play the game up to a certain point, just like with Pyre, just playing the combat system,
yeah,
and then make the decision to buy it full price when it does come out. I think that's a good way to do early access, because nowadays you don't get into early access unless you straight out buy the game.
Yeah.
Or you have a 3-day window to play the game during...
For free or something.
You know,
yeah,
open,
yeah,
or closed.
They're
beta.
Doing the free weekend sometimes, but you're totally
then,
right.
Yeah.
When a new game comes out, they should have a playable demo. Like, I feel like it
a
was
$1.99 playable demo.
Something, yeah.
Because just like mobile games or a lot of games that we pay full price for, sometimes we only spend anywhere from a half an hour to 3 hours max, and then we move on to something else.
I think Steam already takes care of that with their refund policy.
That's true.
That's abusing the system.
Is it though?
That's
I don't know if
for.
It is.
If you're not satisfied,
in 2 hours, yeah, you should know if you like a game in 2 hours. I mean, I return a shit ton of games. We just did. We should put that on the. We'll talk about that next. Yeah. One last thing I want to say about Pyre. It could be because I was hungover, just like in a weird state, but like this game felt really tactile, like almost like there was something right in front of me for some reason, or maybe I was just like really close to my screen, but like, I don't know. It had a depth to it that most games don't. Like I felt like there was like a, it was like a, maybe puppets playing out in front of me or something. It had the 3D in this. It seems like it has more depth than most games. And I think it's just the shading and the art. They just did a really great job.
Well, your monitor is very immersive. I'll say that. That's true. Like, it's big.
That's a Predator, Acer Predator.
X34.
Yeah.
Like a 107 inch.
Greatest thing monitor ever. All right. Let's start before we forget.
Yeah.
So right after the podcast last week, we downloaded Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
And last time I had reviewed it, but I had only played the demo that they put out, and the AI was dog shit. But anyway, first thing, without like any hyperbole, how many menus after it's downloaded, before we actually played?
I watched that.
It was in the teens, I'd say.
Of menu screens, correct? Yeah. So like
probably maybe
15
more.
To 18 screens, Bobby. Screens, like,
are you talking about splash screens where they say like engine they use or whatever company?
Like, hey, you should know about this. You should know about this. Make sure you do this. This is how you do this. And it just went on and on.
Like a tutorial?
And on.
Explaining the menu system. Not really a tutorial, but explaining the menu system.
Yeah. Which you don't need for a game. It's a fucking fighting game.
Yeah.
It was like we were playing EVE Online. Like,
it's one
that's
of the
how
oldest
much shit
types of games in the book. And people don't need to know how to just jumpstart a game. It's as simple as moving your directional button and hitting A.
Yeah.
You know, and
you couldn't start without like making your online profile. You couldn't start all this
that's
shit.
Annoying.
It just went on and on. Anyway.
And not only that, but once we downloaded the game, we launched the game and then we downloaded more of the game.
Yeah. Which
I
don't
like
mind.
It's like them forcing credits onto you. You know how some games, they actually force you to wait through the credits before you can progress to the real ending. Or maybe they even have credits in the very beginning.
We finally got to the game. 15 minutes later, and it plays really well. I enjoyed myself. I kicked the shit out of Minnie.
Yeah, you did until
surprisingly. Surprisingly, yeah. I put bets on the first game you guys played, and Minnie played Chun-Li, and you played Zangief.
Yeah,
he wrecked me on that one. Definitely.
Yeah, that was so unfortunate because Chun-Li is my girl.
Yeah, she they changed her from. I used to play a lot of Street Fighter 3, and she's changed significantly from.
Yeah. I don't think she even has any charge attacks before. She used to be all charge attacks. Now she's half circles, right?
Yeah, it's like quarter circles, half circle thing. She doesn't
and,
have any more charge attacks.
I could not figure out how to switch my buttons. It would have been a lot worse for Minnie if I could switch my buttons.
That's funny.
And I had never played on an Xbox controller, too. So that was setting me back. Excuses, but no, yeah, he totally came back. And I think at the end we were close to 50-50.
Yeah, I think it was like a 46-53 thing.
Still better than you.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
All right. Another shout out to Noober here coming in with another $15.
Damn, woo-hoo! Dude.
This guy's just supporting the show left and right. You got to save all that up and do it at one time.
So we got to do like the Noober wave, everyone. Let's do it. Just get out of our chairs. And
yeah, if you did that together, you're $5 short of the top donation.
We should at least have some flashcards where we could raise them up like those girls. And
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. It's because we're not going to agree. It's a good idea, but I don't know what we're going to do.
Yep. Well, we did get our camera paid off, so we reached that goal, which is great.
No.
Maybe we can spend the next...
Tear away track pants.
Every time.
That'd be a little too much. We'd have to stand up for that.
Bring him back. Bring him back. The early 90s.
But we need a new goal. Maybe new internet for Emilio because we are dipping today, dude. It is not looking good.
It's been rough, man. I don't know what's going on.
Ugh. All right. Well, we'll figure that out.
VR system? Yeah.
What about it?
Yeah.
Oh. We should.
I don't know, man.
As long as once
not
you
huge
get
on
room.
VR.
Wait till you hear this interview. It's going to change your mind, Bobby.
We'll see. All right. I'll talk about a game. Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2. Yeah, it's a sequel. And they didn't have a subtitle. It's just two at the end of this. So
cannoli,
I played,
like the dessert?
Like the Italian dessert.
Oh, yep. Oh, yum.
Bobby's in a mafia mood.
Why's that?
Well, you played Mafia 2.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, and then now it's cannolis.
Well, I played the first Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. I don't know why, but something about this just appealed to me. So it's zombies and mafia, and it's a side-scroller shooter beat-em-up type game, just straight up 2D.
A la Metal Gear, or what's that called?
Kind of like Contra. It feels like
Metal
Contra.
Oh, okay.
Metal Slug. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. It could be compared
it
to that.
It does
too.
Look like Metal Slug.
So I don't know. The first one caught my eye, and I thoroughly enjoyed that game. Now, one thing I got to tell you is you got to play these games on hard, at least hard. You play it on normal, you just breeze through it. It's not very entertaining. The story is actually pretty decent. It's very traditional. You know, you have a level cutscene, level cutscene, and
bosses.
Do you eat cannolis?
Yeah, there are bosses.
Replenish HP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep,
how they.
This has a great place. Look to it.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, the animations are a little weird, but yeah, this is just a fun game. It doesn't do anything new, and I'm okay with that. It just does it very well. It's very well executed, and I love the theme. Now, what's new in this version, I've only played about an hour or two of it. I might have more to say next week because I plan on playing it all the way through. They now have online co-op.
The
first one, I think, had local co-op. This one has local co-op and online co-op, but just not enough people are playing this if you're just trying to pair up randomly with someone out there.
So you tried to play it online co-op, but...
I looked and nobody else was playing. But if another person bought this game, then we could do it. It would be a fun to play through this with someone else. Like, it's not a difficult game. That's why you got to set it on at least hard.
Yeah.
How much was it, Bobby?
$12.99, which is a decent price for this game.
I like how gory it is. Like, blood is just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So you have one of those, you have an aimer laser or whatever. Controlling that with your mouse, I'm guessing?
I use my mouse, but it does have controller support.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, I play with my mouse, too, especially since it has that laser.
So yeah, it's got the aiming reticule on it. Switching guns is a little awkward in this. You hit tab and then you have a scroll wheel. I mean, you can use the 1-9.
Scroll wheel is like the death to all weapon switching.
Well, not the scroll wheel on the mouse. You actually get a wheel on screen.
Okay, on screen.
An on-screen menu where you select your weapon. In this type of game,
it's called a reticule, right?
A reticule is like a targeting sight.
Oh.
But in this type of game, you need to switch weapons fast, especially if you run out of ammo on one. So it can be a little awkward. Like, I use the Tommy gun a lot, and if I want to switch to the bazooka really quick, that's like a 9. So I'm like, my hands are jumping across the keyboard. It's a little weird, but
I haven't seen any zombies.
There's a lot. So the plot in the first one.
I haven't seen any cannolis.
Those are some of the zombies. Oh, I just did that part today and this part. That was fun. So the first one, the plot is it's in the 20s during Prohibition. The mafia makes some bad hooch and it turns people into zombies.
Oh,
and have to like shoot up. You're fighting the zombies and the military comes in and tries to quarantine it. And you have to kill them. And plus you're shooting off like other mobsters. The boss fights were great in this too. Really enjoyed the boss fights.
Tell you what, I would love to serve up some zombie hooch to a couple of my patrons. Any excuse to just like, you know, it's not murder if they're a zombie. They're already dead, right?
How was Saturday night for you?
Oh, by the way, yeah. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Saturday night, I honestly barely got to drink because I was so busy. I was too busy slinging drinks, but it was a really good night for me. I didn't sleep until 4:30 in the morning because I was just up all night cleaning up everyone's mess.
Yeah. It's got to be a busy night. So March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, is my Steam birthday.
Oh, no way. Was it? Happy birthday, Bobby. How many years now?
Well, 14.
You're still a youngin.
Year
younger than me, Bobby, at least in Steam.
Yeah.
Actually, Minnie, we had a conversation about this before, mm-hmm. but what is your Steam birthday? Do you know?
I think it's March 28th, so like next week.
It's coming up.
Of how many years?
Same as Bobby. He's a couple weeks older than me.
Yeah. So Steam came out September 2002,
I believe.
2002. Yeah, basically I missed it by like 5 months.
2003.
Yeah.
And
so 2004 March is when I created my first Steam account.
I think I missed it by 2 months.
I was holding out on Steam because I wasn't like really sure about it, and I was still playing Counter-Strike.
I feel like if you didn't play...
You know when I got my Steam account? It's when I realized I couldn't play Counter-Strike with my big brother anymore.
That's why I got it.
And so I had to physically go to the game store and purchase a copy and then make my Steam account. So it took me 2 months.
Oh, because you didn't have a legit copy?
My brother and I would have to take turns, and we're like, oh, okay, fuck this. Time to go get you one, Chi. But how does an 11-year-old make her own money? Back in the day. or get a copy of Counter-Strike. Oh my gosh, how did we get a copy of Counter-Strike? Nobody, they probably just let us, like, I think they just let us walk up to the counter.
Well, the ESRB was pretty brand new then. Nobody really,
yeah, no one really took it serious.
It wasn't very enforced. Yeah, well, Steam actually puts a little graphic in the client on your birthday. Like, there are little balloons, pixelated balloons, and a bunch of, like, confetti in the background.
Really?
Yeah, it's the first year I've seen them do that. Oh, so okay. I thought that was cool.
Oh, really? I didn't get that.
Yeah. Must be brand new this year.
Oh, Noober, you went and done it.
What?
Didn't you, man?
Noober?
Are you fucking, oh my God.
Are you drunk?
Oh my God, dude.
That's $200 from Noober.
Oh, holy shit.
Are we getting
Noober.
The VR system now or what?
Hell yeah. We got a top donation, Emilio.
$200.
From
so,
Noober.
Booty shake?
We're getting those track pants, Noober. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh, you know
damn,
what I
want? Damn, son!
You're the best, Noober.
That was
thank
fantastic.
You so much.
Dude.
I don't think anyone's beaten that for a while. You're gonna
I
be
peed
on
my
top
pants
a
little. Pardon me. I have to. I'll be right back.
And she's literally leaving.
Bring a paper towel.
So, Noober, when you join the podcast next week, bring your own chair. We're gonna we'll get you a thing and stuff. I'm saying because he bought his way into the.
Okay.
All right, Noober, got it.
All right, so yeah, Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2, definitely recommend it for $13. Why the hell not? Just don't expect anything amazing. It's just, I don't know.
No, it looks
no,
fun.
Dude, it looks fun.
No, I definitely want to get
the 13
this.
If you, just so we can say we played one game together this year.
Yeah, well, I will be playing it to completion this week. I think I'll have time. One other game, I'll get this out of the way, that I've been playing a little bit, is it's just called Goosebumps.
Okay. Like R.L. Stein.
Based on that.
It's based on R.L. Stein's books. I read all of them
all of
back
them.
In the day.
I was
all
scared of them when they came out.
They were kind of scary as a kid.
Because
I was pretty young when they came out. And yeah, they were kind of creepy. They would, every single chapter ended on a cliffhanger too.
Yeah.
Like every single one would always end with like something crazy that happened. And you're like, oh shit, now I got to see what happens. So you flip it over to chapter two. So Goosebumps is a point and click adventure game based on all of his work, like collectively.
Okay.
It looks kind of low budget, and I knew that going into it. I think I got this game off of some bundle, and it's a very simple point and click adventure game. Not a whole lot to this. The Goosebumps theme is really what carries it. Like, if you have no nostalgia for Goosebumps, don't even bother with this game at all. It doesn't even have, like, moving characters, really. It's just static images that appear. The audio is even very light. There's no dialogue. It's all text. Occasionally, there's a little bit in some sound effects, but that's about it.
It looks like it doesn't even have widescreen support. I saw the bars on the sides.
You know, with Enhanced Steam, the plugin, they will usually show you if there is widescreen support down here, and I do not.
Enhanced Steam, you say?
Enhanced Steam, yeah.
Bobby, I do have a question about Enhanced Steam.
Yeah.
Does your Steam have it, or do you have to go on the web page?
No, it's just on the web page.
Because it's through Chrome?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But who browses Steam on, I guess you do, right?
A lot of people
on the web page?
On a web page, yeah. I use it all the time.
I have friends that do exclusively on Chrome before logging into Steam for some reason.
It makes sense if you have this. I mean, how much did you pay for this, Bobby? It's fantastic.
Goosebumps? I mean, it was in...
No. The Enhanced Steam.
Oh.
The thing that I fucking...
Totally free.
I want it so bad.
And you keep forgetting.
Yeah.
As do I.
Yeah. This game is $10. That seems a little high for it. I got it in a bundle for who knows how much. Lowest historical price is $2.50, and it's been in a bundle 4 times on IndieGala, so it might still be in a bundle there.
So you're playing for the nostalgia.
Yeah, because I loved Goosebumps, and I went back and tried to read some Goosebumps books. You can find them online and in like Mobi files or EPUB files, and it's kind of, they're very short. You can rip right through them, but they're made for kids. Like, they're so simplistic.
Yeah.
They had a TV show that sometimes I go back and watch, but those are a little rough too. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was the Harry Potter of your generation, Bobby, would you say?
Yeah, it kind of was.
I think so. It was after my time, but it hit my radar. I was already in my teens when it came out, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm so old.
Yeah, Goosebumps, I don't know. You had to be the right age for it.
Oh.
And right about, I think when they got to about 45 or 50 books, then they started doing like the choose your own adventure and all
yes!
this weird shit with
that's
it.
The best
and that's kind of
when
I dropped out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I like
what?
The traditional Goosebumps.
When it going gets really good, Bobby, you back away. That's when Goosebumps
I mean, I like
amazing.
Choose your own adventure, but I just didn't want to see like Goosebumps going down that route. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the original Goosebumps.
I have to go with you on that one as well.
You're a Goosebumps purist.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
I would just
I went
I would get frustrated.
Choose Your Own Destiny is so
like
good.
You just you get to that page, like, oh, you died. Okay, what page was I on before? You got to go back and try to find the story.
No, you just read it all over again.
They have Choose Your Own Adventure games on Steam. There's a Judge Dredd one that's really good. It's called Countdown to Sector 106 or something like that. But, like, that's a good one. I played that a few times.
Is it a comic book form or?
No. Sort of. It has pictures, but it's like a choose your own adventure. It's a lot of reading. There's dice rolls, and there's pictures occasionally. And it's a lot. Like, I played it a few times, and I've always had a different story. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
No, Noober, you're worth it.
I was going to tell him more Gorilla Tape for the studio with all these donations.
Yeah, for sure.
Could never have enough Gorilla Tape.
It's either that or a helmet.
Special helmet now, yeah. My special helmet.
So I've been playing Dark Souls 3 because you told me I should play it.
Yeah.
And I didn't play it very much. I played it a bit yesterday. And
Dark Souls 3. Okay.
Yes. That's my first Dark Souls game ever.
Yep.
With the controller, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really good. I didn't play it a lot, maybe 2 or 3 hours, and that first boss was like,
oh my god.
Difficult.
Did you beat him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can walk right past him.
Tried that.
Okay. Can't. I got past him. I don't know how. I was like, I can't beat this guy.
Maybe you guys aren't talking about the same boss. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe.
The dude with the big sword, right?
Yeah.
He's in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked past him.
I don't know how. Past him.
Yeah,
I did not kill him. I couldn't kill him.
Door behind him, and it was locked.
Cutscene.
You guys still might be talking about someone different. You're like, oh, the dude with the big sword. Oh yeah, that guy.
All of them.
Literally everyone in this game has a big sword.
Yeah, but this one was really special because he did this like 360 swing, and then he turns into this big, massive shit.
Yeah, that guy
comes after you.
I could have sworn I walked past
him. That's Mononoke type of.
If you walk past him, how do you know what he does when he fights?
Maybe because I got close. I eventually killed him because I rolled a mage afterwards, and it was so easy with the mage.
Just range.
Just so easy.
Range,
I was like, wow.
I beat Demon Souls as a mage, and the game was manageable because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine just doing sword and
shield. Well, aren't mages more difficult late game, though?
That's what I've heard.
There's a meta to every Dark Souls game, and it changes.
It's nice because you can respec and just become a weapons class depending on what you need if you're stuck.
You know what I've heard, or not what I heard, what just happened is a guy played through the entire series without getting hit once.
Yeah, one back to back did a run of them, no hit run through all three games.
It's basically he's a master.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get him on a listener spotlight. Mini.
I started rolling an assassin. And I heard they're pretty effective early game because they have good pierce damage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I chose right.
Cool.
But I will continue playing this because the game was really good.
Yeah. I think it's right up your alley, man.
Yeah. I liked Nier a lot. And I'm sure Nier was a clone of this. Well, it was, really. And
there were a couple clones of this. Well, I don't know. I don't play these games enough to know, but I'm sure there's some differences in it. But you guys were talking about The Surge last week, and that's another game that borrows heavily from this concept.
Yeah, I tried playing that because I thought Emilio had it, but he didn't. And
I'm a jerk.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to play, but I just settled for Dark Souls.
You don't just settle for Dark Souls. If you came back with a review that wasn't anything, like, it was anything less than, oh, yeah, I like it, then, like, tables would have been flipped.
Not only is this the pinnacle of the series, but I think it's the pinnacle of the genre.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, really? It's very
I don't know
well
if you're qualified to say that, though.
From what I've read.
From what you've read.
Bloodborne
I don't know.
Is better from what I hear from a lot of Dark Souls fans, that Bloodborne is
Yeah, but that's not on PC, is it?
It's not.
Yeah, so it doesn't count.
We don't talk about those things here.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who play these games so much. I don't know how you discover these games, because most people like us play it because we've heard so much about it, and it's always difficult when people are constantly pressing a game on you, and then you finally play it, and it...
You mean Dark Souls?
Yeah, Dark Souls. And it has all these expectations. So I imagine, like, a lot of people just happened to buy this game, picked it up naturally, and just fell in love with it. And I don't know, if you don't have that process with a game where you kind of find it on your own and it's something special to you, and you're kind of just going off of everybody else's recommendation, then it loses something.
For me, I feel like Dark Souls really spawned from the original game, Demon's Souls. It was strictly a PS3 exclusive.
PS3, yes.
Yeah, at the time. And just like any other amazing title, Assassin's Creed, God of War, they did change the name over to Dark Souls, which made it a little bit confusing. In the end, I think just the how well they implemented the first, came out with the first game, is how it can carry on its legacy, really.
Well, that might be part of it too, because this comes from consoles, and yeah. It's when you play it on PC, it's very obvious that PC was an afterthought, especially when it comes to the control scheme.
Even on 3, you think?
It's
pretty smooth on 3.
Yeah, well, you always plug in a controller.
It is pretty smooth. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Even if you play with keyboard and mouse, like you can tell it's not the way that this is meant to be played. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know.
Let me just correct myself. I said Nier was a spawn from 3, from Dark Souls. What I meant to say was Neo, not Nier.
Yeah.
Complete different game.
Yeah, okay. I've never played Nier, but I didn't think it was like a Dark Souls replica.
I meant Neo.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
It's not. It's more of like a Ninja Gaiden type.
So will you continue?
I will. Yeah, I'll be playing this more, definitely.
Cool.
Another game, Vermintide 2, just continuing to play that.
Oh, we could probably play together, Dark Souls 3, because there's the online capability kind of thing. Okay. I've never beat the game, so if you want someone to play with, I'll play that with you, not Vermintide, though.
What did you roll?
Huh?
What did you roll in?
The Spear class, the Knight, I think that's what they called it.
Does it have a shield, too?
Depends. You can wear a shield, but then I like
more mobile.
More mobile, so I generally just roll with a two-handed spear.
I'm trying to learn the perfect parry in that game, because it's not like other games.
Parries are so important.
Yeah,
parries are the only thing that saved my ass in that game.
That's what I need to learn in this game, in Dark Souls 3. But Vermintide. We've been playing a little bit together, Emilio.
It's like better than Left 4 Dead.
Oh,
Don't be such an elitist. It is so much fun.
Get out of here.
I think it is.
A lot
I'm
of fun.
I'm offended, dude.
Well, look, Left 4 Dead didn't have progression. It didn't have loot. This has both of those. So not only are you...
But Left 4 Dead is different because it has verses, it has...
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. I never got into the verses scene.
Yeah.
So, strong point there. But, I mean, the graphics and the progression.
The abilities.
Now I almost want to just play this game.
So many people.
Just don't play with me.
On our Discord.
Just don't play with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm over-exaggerating, but I feel like this game is just blowing up. Like, at least on our Discord, like, everybody is playing this game, and they're playing it a lot. Like,
that's because people keep throwing copies at other people. Many almost bought me.
No, because it's really good. Really, really, really good.
I'm like... But no, Minnie, no.
I'll play more Counter-Strike, a game that's 8 years old and nobody plays anymore.
Yeah, but I'm having fun with it.
Except for half the world.
And it's challenging.
It's still up there. It's probably in the top 10.
No, yeah, Counter-Strike is a great game.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's so well made. I'm just trying to be shitty.
Continues to be fantastic. It's I would say it's a must-buy.
So this game, it's not early access, $30. How many people are playing
If you're
this?
Sitting out there and you're like, man, I got no friends... Buy this game, jump on our Discord server that you get there by going to dlgaming.net, click on our permanent link. You'll go in there and just say, like, anybody up for Vermintide. More likely than not,
Except for me.
Get somebody.
I had a full lobby of, we were playing a
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, competitive game. And then Minnie just barges in,
drunk
super drunk.
Shit.
And he was like, hey, people, how are you doing at the time? Today? Yeah. You want a copy of Vermintide 2? Come play with me. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
I was so drunk.
Obviously, it's a really good game because if somebody can be that enthusiastic about getting other people to join in, I'm sure it's great.
I did the same thing with The Hunt as well. So I bought people The Hunt to play with.
Yeah, but see, Hunt is a good game, but it was not worth buying. That's why
because of the servers.
I'm a little hesitant.
Yeah. Yeah. Purely because of servers.
I think you're going to love that game once it's...
The servers are good.
It's ready to go. Gee, I think you're going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so hardcore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say.
Chi described Minnie's level of drunkenness as Emilio level. I don't know what I... feel about being an adjective, but I'm okay with it if it out survives me. So, like, if 200 years people are like, "Are you Emilio level drunk?"
Right.
Damn, that's a legacy.
Oh my gosh, what were you drinking?
That's after? Like a
because if it was whiskey, then it's definitely Emilio level.
You tipped, but did you Newber level tip?
I love it. That was hilarious.
It was tequila.
No wonder.
So what I was doing
was good times.
Is I was going to get that.
Bobby's like, I remember once upon a tequila.
I was right before that. I was about to give the interview with Shady Chick. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, well, make this more fun if I had like a drink. And then one drink became three within like an hour. And I was just like,
wait, so you did the interview drunk?
Yeah.
Okay. How drunk?
I was coherent. Like I could still form.
That means he's an actual DLG caster.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
And
there were some points where I was like,
did you feel shame and regret? Then that lives up to our standards.
did you hit on her? Like just cause you were drunk?
Actually, I think so. Like after I ended the interview and I started talking to her a bit, I was like, man, why was I even talking to her after the interview? There was things that I shouldn't have said.
Yeah. That's tough.
But we didn't record that, so nobody knows about that except me and her.
Minnie, are you still single? Not single? I'm confused.
Gee, I've been with somebody the entire time you've known me.
Oh, but you're hitting on other chicks over the internet?
He was drunk. It's okay.
She's across the damn country. It's not going to do anything.
What the hell? Wait a second now.
How many guys do you talk to on the internet?
I don't hit on them.
No, I know, but how many?
Everybody who's not her is a guy.
Moving on.
Everybody on the internet is a dude.
Lawyered.
Even the chicks are fake. Even the chicks are fake. No one's a real girl. I'm not a real girl on the internet.
So. I'm going to go ahead and tell this story on the podcast.
Okay.
There was a time when I was about 17 that I was approached by a girl on the phone. I got catfished before the internet.
Okay.
Yeah, before the internet, it was even a thing. So this guy was really good at doing a girl's voice.
Oh.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, and we had phone sex.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're disgusting, Amelia.
No.
Come on, fist that
he dude. Wants to
and it turned out, Minnie. It turned out it was a gay guy that was like super into me at work. And he was
turns out it was Minnie.
He was super good. Super good.
Why would you do that, Bobby? Why would you fist bump G on that?
I mean, people put up a fist bump. You just.
Right? People put up a fist bump and you just don't leave him hanging.
I think it was more like Amelia. Get away. I'm done.
Oh my gosh. There are some things you just. Put in the past and keep it there.
Yep. So that happened.
Yeah. Maybe.
It sure did. All right.
So I did also play Final Fantasy 15. Let me just give a full disclosure right now that
this you've never played Final Fantasy 15 before?
No.
Okay.
But this is not a game for me. Just going to say that right now that people love this game.
Because you like classic. More classic Final Fantasies than modern.
I definitely love
it. 7 was the last one you liked, correct?
Nine
was the last one. Oh, that's
yeah, 9 was too. Like my absolute, the pinnacle of Final Fantasy. Wow. I loved every Final Fantasy before then.
Never heard anybody even say that 9 was
nine is pinnacle. Actually, nine is probably the most underrated of all the Final Fantasies, in my opinion. And it's amazing.
It is a great game. Mm-hmm. But again, not a game for me. And with that being said, I fucking hate this game.
Really?
This game is so, like, it's like playing an MMO alone, is what this game is. It's like, what was that, Dragon Age Inquisition? Just like that. It's just like you're running around.
You're not alone. You're with your crew.
The crew of people that are exactly like you. See, that's what Final Fantasy was like, a hodgepodge of people.
No, there's a big guy.
There's Final Fantasy, all these people, like, they come from different places. They're all different types of people. They have their different reasons for being there. And this one is just like your prince and everybody are just your friends that are exactly like you. Like, there is no juxtaposition of people in this. You're all wearing black vests with black shirts and black pants with black shoes that have red soles.
Like, I gotta try this.
You haven't played this?
I think I have this game. Or what? I was going to buy it.
Hold on.
There are a lot of games that I own.
What about
that I don't
what
play?
He just said? We're like, yeah. Like he's shitting all over something. And you're like,
he's shitting
looks
on
delicious.
What was. He's shitting on what was actually, you know, not the best game, not the most standout Final Fantasy, but from what I understand, it wasn't a bad game. So I really have to try it out because I've played every single Final Fantasy that's ever been released, except for the second part of 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 15.
And 15 itself.
I've played. I played all of them.
I has played.
Damn, you guys have like 1,000 hours into Final Fantasy.
Oh, well over. I'm actually on my 7th playthrough of Final Fantasy IX right now.
What?
It's an awesome game.
He keeps on changing the names of the of Dagger into all the different girls that he hits on over the internet.
That's what it is.
He's just reliving the fantasy with other
Bobby,
girls
what's the Metacritic
the
on this?
That's basically it.
Let's see. It's $49.99.
Which is reasonable. Like, they could have definitely charged 60 for this.
Now,
no Metacritic on this one.
Now, just so people don't think that I just played this game for an hour and quit, I got to chapter 4 in this, which is For me, maybe like 4 or 5 hours, but for most people, probably like 30. I don't know. This game is like one of those games you can just get lost doing nothing.
I saw Chad play this. I was impressed by the graphics.
Yeah.
The in between the combat looked like dog shit.
Yeah.
Like driving through the desert.
Oh,
pretty
God.
Dog shit.
Driving
But the combat really impressed me.
Okay. So that's one thing that really did not impress me. Because those first four chapters,
yeah.
the way you attack in this game is by holding the attack button. And I would go into a battle holding the attack button and win. Like nothing. I wouldn't do anything else. Hold the attack button one hand. I got an A+ in the battle.
For
four chapters. Four chapters of the game. That's like a quarter of the way through.
So basically, you're only doing the driving around, and the driving around's not cool.
Well, no, the driving around is automated too.
I think I want to play this game and stream it. But before I do that, spike my hair. Spike my hair and wear black leather just to fit in with all the boys. You know, because...
Would it? Anything you shit on, I think she's going to love.
I know. I don't know what it is.
She's so sold. Tell me more. So this was bad. This was bad. This was bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, from what I've been told, like you can make the fight interesting by doing a whole bunch of different magic and teleporting around, but...
But you don't have
why.
To. Why? Yeah.
Like, I win faster by just holding down the attack button.
That's a problem with a lot of RPG games, especially turn-based combat ones. You can always tell when some cheap game does that. Like, they made it with RPG Maker, and there's, like, very few possible outcomes for it. Like, you can... That's like a game design thing. It comes down to what you want to do and what you have to do to win. You got to force the player into using different abilities.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can do that through like an achievement system, which it kind
of
feels
or making bad, of the enemies.
Making a bad guy that can only die to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, making enemies that are weak to certain kinds of attacks.
Final Fantasy is actually pretty good at that. Well,
usually,
yeah, and
usually.
They are. There were weapons or even monsters that were like weak to different types of weapons.
So chapter magics. 4 doesn't really mean anything. What? How many hours would you say that was?
For me, like 4 or 5 hours. For other people, probably a lot more because I don't do the side quest stuff.
Right.
There's like...
You can stay focused on main quests.
Yeah.
That's
did you ever,
superpower I wish I could have.
What MMOs did you play again?
Every Final Fantasy ever.
No, that's not an MMO.
I played the two MMO
sorry.
Final Fantasies. Guild Wars, not really MMO. World of Warcraft. Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, I forgot.
How did
that
you like
name.
To play your MMOs? Did you like just burning through to end game and
PvP.
Just raiding?
Like,
oh,
I would,
PvP.
I would go straight. I would get the good PvP gear and just do that.
Did you have a twink?
No. I like to get the high level PvP to get all the skills. Yeah.
PvP for me in MMOs is basically just time killers. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I
wouldn't put
more
time
PvE
into it.
Than PvP.
Yeah, I'm not much of a gear hunter. So that's why I'm surprised at myself for liking Vermintide, too, because there's a lot of gear to obtain in that game. And that's usually something that turns me off to games.
It's awesome, dude.
Gear hunting.
God, it's a good game.
It really is.
Yeah.
Also, one thing that really pissed me off, there's this dude, his special power is taking pictures. He just fucking takes pictures and shit.
Oh, and then you look at them at the
and
end of the day,
you just
right?
look at pictures, and it's like, hey, you leveled up. While you're leveling up, look at fucking pictures this dumbass took. And then, like, during, like, you're driving
some people
around,
found that
like,
endearing, dude. Some
yeah, I'm sure like, they did. He's such a pussy, too. Like, he just cries, like, can we take
how
a
many
break?
Followers?
Hey, picture guy, go fuck yourself.
I'm gonna
go
sleep.
Every Final Fantasy game has that, though. They have, like, the snow. Snow was probably,
snow
like,
is,
the...
Who's Snow?
Snow's... from Final Fantasy 14.
Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, the little white hair boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like while I'm driving down the road, he'll ask like, "Hey, that's a really cool cliff. Can I take a picture?" And it's like, "No, we're fucking driving."
Yeah, that's the developer saying like,
hunters.
"God, we spent a lot of money on this cliff. I mean, a lot of time on this cliff.
Yeah.
Let's make
somebody appreciate it."
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is like the first, I'm not going to spoil anything because it's like the first 20 minutes of the game. Like, your dad gets murdered, and that's, like, your goal from what it is. That's from the get-go. And then, like, right after that, your dad is murdered. It's like, okay, we got to go find the killer. 5 minutes after that, it's like, hey, can we take a break? I'm tired. Can we go to the inn? There's a nice cliff over there. Can we take a picture? Dude, shut the fuck up.
Backseat drivers.
I hate that guy so
much. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? All right, let's get into the news.
God, sorry.
Okay.
You know what that really grinds my gears?
That was an abrupt transition.
It was 40 minutes of fucking Final Fantasy. We have to move on.
All right, news. The International is moving to Vancouver. So Dota 2 International.
Does that mean
been
we all
done.
Need passports? in order to go?
I suppose you would need a passport to get to Canada. It's been in Key Arena in Seattle for the last 4 years. I think they did it in Germany before that, but they're now moving it to Vancouver. So I read up on this, and the rumor is, or what people are saying, is that they are renovating Key Arena because they want to move a hockey team there or something. So I think this is something that's just not...
For this year?
Yeah, it's just for this year. It might just be a temporary thing. It's not permanently moving. Because I heard this and I thought, shit, are they getting that big? Because they sell out. At least on like the good seats or the whatever the best passes are, they sell out pretty quickly in Key Arena. And I haven't been inside, but I've seen Key Arena before. It's a pretty big place. So I was wondering, maybe they got more people and they want to expand to a bigger location. So that's what I assumed, but it looks like that may not be the case.
This is going to bring up way bigger thing for me. Are MOBAs on their way out? Are they diminishing? Like, are their numbers?
Here's not my opinion. What they were used to be. You can't. They're like MMOs. You can't. It's not a good thing to make right now. Nobody's going to make a new MOBA.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I'm saying the ones that are there. Like, I feel like this international is not going to have the viewership of last year.
Oh, well. Dota 2 is a huge event. Just for the prize pool alone, people who aren't into Dota watch it. Just because
I'm going to watch it for the holograms. Those things impress the fuck out of me, dude.
They've got great production value. It's a great show. I mean, I'm going to watch it, at least a lot of it. But I think all the MOBAs that exist right now are just, they've got their crowd and they can continue doing that, but nobody's going to come out with a new one. They're like MMOs like that. That has come and gone, but it's still, you know, people think like games are just going to die off and disappear from existence. They don't. Like, people still stick around and play them.
I'll be right back.
All right. So I don't know, Vancouver, that's like a $600 plane ticket. I don't know if I'm making it to,
Speaking of just large events, and I know you guys went to OWL recently, are there any conventions this year that are in your scope? Me, of course, TwitchCon, being that it's in San Jose, but outside of that, do you see yourself going back to another QuakeCon or?
We brought it up. We talked about it with LabMonkey. And the thing about QuakeCon that you got to understand is it's all about the LAN. They have a very small exhibition hall. And while they do have some cool stuff in there and it's very hardware focused, which I like, the main attraction is the LAN. So if you aren't bringing your own computer and you're going to sit down there amidst a bunch of other gamers. No, it's free. You just got to... Oh, wait, is it? How much did I pay? $40? It's like they have different tiers, but I think I paid $40. To get in. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure the information is out there, but yeah, you do pay a little bit and then you bring your gear in there, you sign it in, which can take forever. And then it's great. It actually is a hell of a lot of fun to play in that environment. But if you live, most people who go, I think are from Texas. If you live outside of the state and you got to drive or you got to fly, like take a computer on a plane like that, I don't know. That would be rough. So I don't know if I would do QuakeCon this year. Other conventions are just hard to get into. I mean, I would love to do BlizzCon if we can make that happen. I am interested in like Dota 2, but not in Vancouver. That would just be too much. Although I have always wanted to visit Vancouver.
Yeah.
They film a lot of movies in there. Like, it's a very cool town. A lot of things happen in Vancouver. Could totally make a trip out of it, but I got a few other things going on this summer, so I don't know if I'll have the money.
Outside of TwitchCon, I want to at least experience the free events for Comic-Con because every year I always miss it. So Bobby, this year,
months in advance, I'm going to start looking at what venues are coming up. Yeah. The only thing that interested me last year that I missed out on was a taping of Conan at Spreckles. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool.
Yeah. But missed out on that. Not a lot of comedians that came to town, at least not that I noticed, but yeah.
Comedy show would be fun. We haven't had a comedy night.
Well, Doug Loves Movies always comes to town, and then I usually go to the Comic-Con one there because you know the guests are going to be good on that. Mm-hmm. Usually does two showings. All right, so yeah, international, moving to Vancouver. What else we got? Celebrity Pro. Oh, there's a Fortnite tournament coming up at E3. So that usually happens in June. They're going to have a tournament, 50 pros versus 50 celebrities, because apparently there's a lot of celebrities that play Fortnite.
Yeah, so Drake played with Ninja, and Ninja's one of the top streamers. I've never watched him. You guys ever seen him?
No, he's blown up because of Fortnite, but I've never seen any of the streams.
Apparently, I saw it was a headline, but it said, like, I think he makes more money than anybody else.
And
overall,
the thing is, he's going to have the most followers on Twitch, or already has exceeded or hit 3 million followers. than compared to any other.
And he broke the streamer. Single time viewership because of Drake, obviously.
Because of Drake. Yeah.
But it went up by 100,000.
More than 150,000 he broke it by.
Yeah,
that
sure.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think he's making that money just because of Fortnite, though. Like, this guy didn't really...
I'd never really heard exist. His name before.
Yeah, it's just he started doing Fortnite, and like Fortnite, the popularity of that game rising kind of helped his Twitch stream as well. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship there. But yeah, that's cool. I think we got a listener question
still,
about that.
And
later.
I still have never seen a full game of Fortnite or attempted to play it. I know it's essentially
a heated debate right now. PUBG
it's essentially
Fortnite.
The most mainstream game right now, and I. Almost always jump on the mainstream bandwagon, but Fortnite is just...
Is it on the listener questions, Bobby? Mm-hmm. Somebody compared them to, right? We'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
Is it cross-platform yet? I know it's going to be, but is it yet?
I don't know.
I believe PUBG and Fortnite both hit mobile, or at least the reviews are in.
Okay.
And apparently it plays fantastic. Like, it's really surprising people. Yeah. You would think that it's dog shit on your phone. Apparently it's working. Oh, so
Fastidious says on mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there Fortnite is. I think PUBG is, but not in the Western Hemisphere. I think maybe in Canada they're just starting to put it, but I don't know if PUBG is accessible mobile yet.
Yeah.
At least here.
That's interesting.
In case anybody was wondering, well, you guys didn't hear it, but so we have a dog. And when we got the dog, the cat moved out.
Right.
She moved herself out. She's like, fuck this noise. The dog and the cat just came in the house at the same time.
Oh.
The dog bit the cat in the face.
Oh, shit.
The cat bit Sam in the hand.
Oh, my.
And clawed her stomach.
Oh.
So.
Oh, no.
That's what's going on.
Is Sam okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay. Mm. Ouch.
Yep. Cats and dogs.
No, fastidious
you can't really. You can't really blame a dog for attacking a cat, right?
Yeah.
Can you?
I mean, he's a puppy, so not really. But.
Yeah, we should have introduced him. I tried. She didn't want to get it. Okay, never mind. Let's move on.
All right. What else we got here? Time-saving microtransactions in Far Cry 5.
Before Thanks, Dope.
Whoa, Dope.
Thank you so much, man.
Hold on,
that's fucking awesome.
Oh, no, I moved the ticker. Shit.
Well, it's been...
Our viewer to donation ratio, it must be higher than anybody else on Twitch.
Probably. Yeah, you guys are awesome, man.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, we got 9, but we got a strong 9.
So, yeah, he says, only been listening a few weeks, but love the podcast. Keep at it. Nice.
Thanks, Dope Sex.
It's like we were talking about my dick the other day, mm-hmm. Minnie. Mm-hmm. How I only have 1 inch, but it's an angry inch.
Yeah, it's an angry
R9
inch.
R9 is like a strong 9, you know?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, time-saving microtransactions are coming in Far Cry 5. They don't have really said what these are, but they're saying time-saving microtransactions. So
that's when, like, they give you more, like, XP boosts.
XP boost, maybe they'll unlock
areas. For the single player or for the multiplayer?
For the single player.
Okay.
And
that is ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe new weapons. Like, they haven't announced what it is, but maybe, like, better weapons at the beginning or something.
Pay $100, I'll send you straight to the credits.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the difference between paying a prostitute and going on an actual date with someone, right?
Like, you don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
But you spend the same amount of money, though. That's the difference of your analogy.
I think we can just...
Dates are not cheap.
I think we can just come to expect this in any big AAA title, especially these franchises. Like, at this point, I would be surprised if they didn't put microtransactions in.
Yep.
It's unfortunate. It's like that's just part of the genre.
Yeah.
Now.
So Epic Tryhard Face was asking, now that the camera's paid off, what's our next goal? Minnie and I both agree that VR might be a nice move, like, so we can review that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of audience we're going to reach with VR. It's not a big audience.
Yeah,
so
not yet.
It's kind of like Bobby talking to YouTube creators. Like, it's just the audience just isn't there. But it'd be awesome.
Right.
And I was thinking, so once that van is gone, I'm thinking about turning some of the garage into a gym. That gym could be a VR, like double as a VR area.
Mm. That'd be cool.
So we'll see. I don't know. We got
to
talk about it.
We should go to a VR bar sometime.
There's a VR bar?
Where are they?
There, we got, I think one is opening in Mira Mesa, but there is one in the Fashion Valley mall.
Cool. That's cool.
Oh, that's interesting. VR bar. That's very clever, actually.
Yeah.
That's
cool. We can go and just review it.
OB.
VR bar.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
So we can drink and chat with each other in VR chat at the same time.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
In the same room.
It's like instead of having to look at your face, I could look at your, what was it called?
We obviously know the way.
Damn it. Just everybody in there is just...
So the listener questions came hard in the paint this week.
Oh man, yeah, they're big and long.
I don't know about slap nuts. That's are you gonna read that whole thing, Bobby?
Yeah, that's like part one too.
Okay, all right,
we've got some two-parters here. So, wow. All right, let me adjust myself so I can read these a little bit better.
Yeah, and try to get more concise with your questions, because like we got to read them on the air, so if they're super long, just like try to break it down for us.
It's hard to read for you. I can do it. I know how to read.
No, it's not
that's one of my skills.
Yeah, I can read it.
All right. Yeah.
What we should do is just take these longer ones and just condense it ourselves, but
yeah,
you know, that would we'll have to do that next time. All right, first one coming from Sniper. Where do you see the podcast going in the future? What's the best case scenario? Do you guys have some 2018 goals you can share and we can help you achieve?
VR.
What's wrong with our slug-like crawl to success? What's wrong with having one more subscriber per week? I don't know. Do we have goals?
I don't know. The Twitch was always the big one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like that was something we talked about for years and years, and people would always recommend it, and we just never had the opportunity until we had the space for it.
Yep.
So now that we finally accomplished that, we're kind of just like, fuck, what do we do now? Especially since we got the camera, we got, you know, decent lighting, so we still got to hang a few up here.
This is when we started enjoying the groupies, right? Is that, it's just like all... Bus
internet groupies, right? The ones that we're allowed to flirt with. And
correct.
So goals for 2018, I don't know, grow the audience, I think, is always a goal, like a constant goal that we have, just reaching more listeners. I like the idea of doing more
game nights.
Game nights, more interaction with the community. So game nights, having guests on, I would really like to have people on live during the show, just really quickly, you know, almost like call in radio. You know, you come on, you can say a few things about whatever, and then we cut you off.
Yeah, and it's funny because we're going to be using their like screen names, so you'd be like, X Fister X is online for Bobby Lon 4.
Like, that's so
taking life forward. Hey, well, Fister, how's it going?
And our studio size, it's a perfect fit for four. So if we are going to try to fit a fifth person in here, they're probably going to have to sit in a...
No, I think he meant like via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Taking calls through Discord. So, but, we need
so you don't want
to
put a person in a swing behind us?
I have room on my
lap. I don't think we can fit anything more in here. That's what she said. But we would need to pull out our headphones, and our headphones aren't great, and we need one other set, so maybe we could look into that. Although we do have the headphone amp, like it's just more wires running everywhere. So yeah, maybe headphones would be a good investment, and I can't think of anything like any more tech that we need.
They're the tech guy. Let's ask the tech department.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we should stick by that, though. Just audience interaction.
Hey, Bobby, being the tech guy over at work, have you ever fucked with anybody? Like put all dicks on somebody's screen or something?
Like I'm going to admit to anything like that? Done that? No, dude.
Maybe the perfect answer, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, when I did computer repair, you know, I used to do like break fix repair, which doesn't really exist anymore just because computers are so cheap. But we get a lot of people that would bring in their computers, and everybody's got weird shit on their computers. Mm-hmm. And some people just don't even hide it. So, you know, occasionally, like every dude has remnants of porn on his computer, right? Especially back then when people just would this is before everyone just went to Pornhub.
And you gotta save it on your...
Yeah, you had to actually save videos on your computer. So that's every dude had porn, and almost every girl had naked pictures of herself on her computer. And that's they would not even bother... Well, I shouldn't say every girl. I assume every girl, but a lot of them didn't. They wouldn't even bother to hide it. It'd be like on the desktop. It'd just be like,
what?
Naked
really?
Pics. Like,
oh. Did you blush at the register? Like, oh my God, I know your nipple color.
Did make some interactions awkward, but no, I'm a professional. One time, like I can always keep a straight face. I've seen some weird shit, you know, like I've been around. I grew up on the internet. One time I was at, we would go out to people's houses too all the time. And one time I went out to this, it was an older couple, you know, maybe 45, 50 or something like that.
Dude, I'm like 40. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm like 24 at the time. So okay. To me, they're old people.
Gotcha.
So I'm over at their house. I'm trying to fix their computer. They're explaining to me a problem that they're having on their email, particularly with attachments. So I'm sitting right here, and to my left, right behind me is the mom. To the right behind me is the dad. And so the dad's trying to explain this to me and says, well, you know, just open an email, just like anyone. Yeah, like that one right there. Okay. And then open up the attachment. And it's this picture of somebody's ass with like a thermometer sticking out of it. And then the wife was so embarrassed. She's just like, oh, Dave, what is that?
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Was he setting you up for this?
No, he wasn't. He's like, oh, maybe not the best. But this is what I'm saying, dude. I'm a fucking pro. I'm just like, all right, I'll open up this one right here. Oh, looks like it's opening up normally. Okay, we'll just go ahead and close that one. Is there another one? Like maybe one in particular that you're having a problem with? Like, I don't even fucking blink, dude. Dave. I'm a professional.
Yeah. Bobby is professional.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I saw some weird shit when I did that. Anyway, more listener questions.
Oh,
so I don't know.
Jason, he's a friend of mine who's hired Bobby to do some work for him a couple times. He was like, how would you describe, like, why should I hire him? And I said, he's wildly, what the fuck did I say? God damn, worst segue ever.
Can't wait for this description of me.
God damn. I got to think about it. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So to wrap up what we were talking about, I think building the community, interacting more with our audience, I think that should be our focus going forward. In addition to growing the audience, which is always a goal of ours.
Also, all quitting our jobs and doing this full time would be fantastic.
Just keep the money rolling in.
I don't know about that. Although I have been talking with my boss. Well, it's not really my boss, but you know, I should have a lighter schedule next week. I mean, my hours are going to be the same, but I think things are going to be better next year at work. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping to kind of like be able to breathe a little bit.
Okay.
Wildly competent.
Okay.
Wild.
Yes.
That works.
Yeah.
It's like an oxymoron.
Yeah, know. It kind of is.
All right, slap nuts, we're going to do this. All right, part one. What are your thoughts on PUBG in the state it's in? I personally hate the new map and think it killed the game. Fortnite is much more fast-paced and has so much less downtime than PUBG. A lot of big streamers are also swapping over to Fortnite, like Ninja with 160K subs. Shroud the Mannequin has all of his robot viewers back, and even Dr. Disrespect started playing Fortnite due to PUBG being so unathletic, in quotes. I hate to be the one to start the whole versus war, but I feel that PUBG is not doing anything to compete with Fortnite and will slowly die just like H1Z1, which is now free to play.
Wow. There's a lot to say there. So, so, I mean, for me, me and Minnie are the only ones that play both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But PUBG, yeah, played a minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm the only one who's played both extensive. I wouldn't even say extensive in one respect, but all right. So in my eyes, Fortnite is killing it because it's free. I mean, initially, that's how they got their numbers, and the numbers turned out to be money, and money turned into development that happens right away. You got to tip your hat in a way to what is the developer of Fortnite?
Epic.
They literally canceled everything else and they followed the money.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Why unfortunately though?
Paragon is awesome.
Sure. But at the same time, there's a lot more dead companies than there are thriving companies.
Yeah.
And what they didn't do was follow the money. In my little microcosm, I've jumped careers probably 4 times in 3 years. It's only because I've been following the money and it's been working. Like I did the math and I gave myself a 20% increase in revenue every year for 3 years straight now. And like, it's just by just following what's paying, you know? And so you can't really blame them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what they're doing, what PUBG isn't doing. They're taking the money and implementing it correctly and quickly and swiftly. Like, they're doing things like, what's the new one that I heard? They're doing a 4 teams of 25 going up against each other.
Okay.
PUBG could have probably done that in a week, but they didn't think about it. You know, like, Epic has a great team there. I don't know who Bluehole is other than this. I think,
right.
I think they're a little overwhelmed over there. And like they're outsourcing their player model or play their character models. That's why we ended up with Camel Toe on the chicks. Remember that? There was Camel Toes on the chick. You could see the vaginas. Anyway, that was because they outsourced the player models of the females.
Okay.
Like they're a little overwhelmed over there. Fortnite is a professional company. And you have the other thing where, like, it's just easy to play. It's so accessible. It's free. I mean, that how much is that going to get you? And then they're listening to the community. I don't know. I'm rambling at this point. But what was the question? Which one's better?
It's basically PUBG for Fortnite. Now, this has just become a huge talking point recently because Fortnite is just... I feel like it's starting to usurp PUBG. And partially because... it's free to play, but also because of what Slapnuts was saying, they've kind of cleaned up, they've refined some of the edges of it to make it a little more pleasant of an experience. Like it feels a little quicker and faster paced is what I'm hearing. And I have seen, well, I tuned into Dr. Disrespect the other day and he was playing Fortnite, which kind of surprised me, but it's so
he's
funny.
He's following the money as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're in that business, you have to play what people are watching.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to hear people's arguments on either side of these. I have no stake either way, so I'm just kind of an objective person. And, you know, I work around a lot of kids, and the kids are all into this, too. It's a big debate with them as well. And I heard some kid the other day say, let me remember, they were arguing about which one is better, PUBG or Fortnite. And one kid said, PUBG wasn't even made by developers. It was made by modders. Fortnite's made by actual developers. It's a real game.
That's kind of, in a way, a strong point, though. I say on the business end, like Epic knows how to run a business. And mm-hmm. Bluehole seems like something just fell in their lap. A giant whale just fell in their lap.
Yeah, they had wild success almost overnight. And yeah. Yeah, they're a huge hit.
And that's why they're succeeding. It doesn't really come down... Okay, everything I just said comes down to Fortnite is doing better business than PUBG is. And whether or not that's a better game, overall, it probably is.
You know what's funny? You can't get any output from me because I would play neither game right now. Like, PUBG doesn't interest me anymore, and even starting up Fortnite doesn't interest me, even if it is free to play and everyone else is playing it. I'm just not, I'm like that one outlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bobby's not playing either.
I don't. But I feel like I can comment on this more because I haven't.
But it's not the type of game that's normally up your alley. I feel like this game would be up my alley, except Fortnite.
Well, you did. You were into PUBG for a while.
I was into PUBG for a long while. Yeah, but then with Fortnite, I don't know. I've watched streams. Still haven't downloaded the game. I don't know, man. I'm just not interested.
Well, being free to play, I think, helps Fortnite out a lot. Now, a lot of people are still going to prefer PUBG. Honestly, it doesn't matter. I mean, people will always tell you, like, this is better than that, but, you know, people are going to play the games that they like. And right now, more people are playing Fortnite. It doesn't mean one is better than the other, but, you know, people are going to continue to play PUBG. It has found its audience. It's never going away. So many people still play it. You know, even if that goes up and down, there's still going to be people playing that game. Fortnite is just kind of, you know, feeling a lot of success right now at the moment, and in time something else will come along. So I don't know, it's the ebb and flow, the rise and fall. I think this genre is just like,
what about H1Z1?
H1Z1, oh god, yeah, I don't know, that one had potential, that I suppose. I mean, that wasn't really a battle royale game though, was it? King of the Kill or King of the Hill was the version of Battle Royale, but that H1Z1 initially was trying to be like DayZ or these survival games.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Part two, Slapnuts. Ninja was playing with Drake, the rap. I like how he explained to us in parentheses that Drake is a rapper.
No, this is funny. Before we move on to the past one, a kid from the Make-A-Wish Foundation actually cried because they sent Drake Bell from Nickelodeon instead of Drake the rapper. And literally he cried so hard. It's like he wanted to die right there. It was rough. So sad. Dang. Yeah.
Well, that's for Drake Bell as well. It's like, man, I feel like I don't mean anything to anybody.
That's the problem with having one name. I mean,
yeah.
Get a last name.
I saw an excerpt of Tyson. Do you guys remember Tyson, the model, that black guy? He had green eyes. He's like, obviously really good looking. Anyway, so he was in a mall one time and he was saying like, oh, Tyson's in the mall. They thought it was Mike Tyson.
Oh.
So all kinds of people ran over and they showed up. Like, who the fuck is this dude? Yeah.
All right. Part two of Slapnuts question. Ninja was playing with Drake, Travis Scott, and Juju from the
Steelers.
WR. Didn't know what that is. We don't know sports here. Who just moved into the FaZe Gaming House? He has 635,000 viewers because Drake tweeted it. Do you guys think Twitch is finally starting to gain some exposure? I think this is a huge step in bringing more viewers and getting more people involved in the Twitch community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. And what, again, Ninja is good at business. Somehow he's getting these big names to come in and play with him and killing the game. Good for him. He's like, this is exactly what somebody needs, like a businessman to come in and like, it's blowing up. He's, Twitch, could thank Ninja.
Well, it's a good move on both parties, I think. And not just because of this incident, but there's been other things as well. You know, that thing with Snoop Dogg. I mean, people are realizing there's a big audience on Twitch. Yeah. So obviously you want to reach those.
Anybody could be a gamer.
You know, if you're an entertainer, you want to get on Twitch in any way that you can, whether you're being featured on someone else's stream or if a developer is paying you. It's just a good move to get on Twitch.
Yeah. You know what's going to be really big, too, is like if a Rachel Ray made her show on Twitch or something like that on the creative side. If somebody big like that came over and like a cook or something like that.
You know, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Like they lose their contract with the network television.
Yeah.
Come on Twitch and do it
there. Yeah.
Get straight up.
Twitch occasionally streams TV shows.
Yeah.
Like they'll do, they've done some weird ones. They had the whole Bob Ross thing a couple years ago. Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers and Bob Ross.
They did like an anime. What's the big anime one with Goku?
Dragon Ball Z?
Dragon Ball Z. God, that was weird. I was like, I saw that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch anime. I'm going to just check it out. And like, I didn't get any of that shit. Like that ship has sailed for me. Like it's too late for me to get on the anime boat.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Funny thing about this getting exposure. My girlfriend talked to me about it. She's like, have you heard of this game PUBG? And they're doing on this thing called Twitch.
Isn't that great when like somebody that you know has no connection to games?
Kind of made me feel like shit though.
Why?
Because she's like, you know about this thing Twitch? I'm like, yeah, you know that show I do every Friday night for the past 4 years? Yeah, it's been on Twitch, babe. It's like, oh, cool.
He's not talking about this show.
Well, this kind of it makes sense that Twitch is kind of cracking down. They have that new the new guidelines. I don't know if we brought that up in past weeks, but they have the new guidelines outlining things like you can't be too sexual, and then they have all these rules they're cracking down on because they are becoming legitimate. They are becoming mainstream, and you have to appeal to a wide audience, including young children.
Hey, so you've got to make sure everything's
appropriate
with our Discord. Like we had to,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just what happens. The bigger you get, the more you have to do that. And then it almost makes me wonder, is something else going to pop up? Some other, Twitch alternative where people can, you know, still be themselves or something, you know, or whatever their interpretation of that is. Like
Twitch after hours?
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to implement that. I mean, how can Minnie not be sexy? I mean, it's amazing. And she too.
All right, next question coming from Splinter. What genre of game is your weakness? For me, it's survival games. I was a huge fan of DayZ, started on the mod and played the crap out of the standalone. Ark was enjoyable and Rust is a fun one to revisit, but just having to hunt for food and set up a little camp for the night is always fun to me.
Try Don't Starve, Splinter, if you haven't played it yet. I think you might like it.
Don't Starve?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a first-person survival game, but that's fun with other people. It's a great co-op game.
For me, it's RTS. I love RTSs, but I am dog shit at them.
You haven't talked about one RTS ever, I don't think.
Yeah, because I don't play
yours were like side-scrolling.
My weakness. Like, weakness for wanting or weakness for being shit at?
No, like
weakness
you have to buy them, right?
I thought it was weakness as in being shit at them.
No.
Side-scrolling games.
Am I reading this right?
Side-scrolling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What kind of game sucks you in? So, like, no matter what genre, I guess, is always sucks you in, even though, you know, for me, it's probably first-person shooters that try to bring back the glory of the 90s and when those games were just born. I added like two to my wish list, Dusk and another one. It's new. They're both like $20. And I added them. I'm like, dude, these things are piling up. Like, I'm never going to play these games.
So you're looking for games like what?
like shooters, but from the 90s. Yeah, things like, that are copying like Quake 2 or things that are like, you know, that Toxic game, you know, or even Jedi Knight.
You might bring up Toxic every episode for the last 4 weeks.
I do bring that one up a lot. Yeah. Because it's that good, was the first title of the game like this that was like trying to capitalize on that 90s shooter nostalgia.
It was a well-made game too. Just had no people playing it unless you're in Europe.
Well, I mean, we all just remembered like, oh yeah, you know, these are fun for like 15 minutes. But I, the campaigns and, you know, like Painkiller from like the mid 2000s,
was
like
so crazy fun,
you know, like any game that copies that. Yeah. What was the, roguelike that I played with the Egyptian?
Oh, right. The tower?
And the redneck
rampage. Wasn't it?
No.
Eternal redneck.
Eternal redneck?
Immortal redneck?
Immortal redneck. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah. I got it? That was a shot in the dark.
You got it, though.
Wow.
Yeah. So anything that reaches back to that. Yeah, Doom, Wolfenstein, like I'll buy anything with that on it.
Still, it seems like you've you addressed your addiction, and now that you're going to start weaning yourself off, or are you going to keep going?
No, I don't know. Like that, the games that I added, Dusk, and I can't remember the other one. It just came on Steam the other day, which is why I saw it. But I got to take them in strides because I know I'm going to play them and get burnt out on them.
They're not long games. That's the other thing too. You're done in 10 hours. Like 10 hours would be a super long one.
Yeah. 10 hours in a first person shooter campaign feels long these days.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm trying to guess what you're going to say.
I would say long-standing competitive online games.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's hard to say what's going to be long-standing when it comes out.
That can bounce between RTSs, MOBAs, competitive shooters.
Yeah.
And which is another reason why I'm surprised I'm not installing Fortnite.
Popular online games, yeah?
No, not really. Because there's a lot of popular online games that I won't touch.
Like Fortnite.
Well, Fortnite's probably, like I said, the only outlier.
Yeah.
But I've played survival games, stuff like that, but that doesn't really have a competitive edge to it, so it doesn't stick with me. Mm-hmm. The games that I keep going, I like games that I keep going back to. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what, I'll still enjoy, like, even a pickup game of Left 4 Dead or something like that. And then, not that the competitive scene really was longstanding on that one, but it's why I won't touch any other game other than Counter-Strike right now, too. And I love Dota 2. It's just that it takes a lot of the games that I really like are the time consuming ones that in terms of like practice, repeated practice.
Oh shit. $10 from Shady Chick.
Thanks.
Oh,
thank you.
You contributed on a show that you were on. Yeah. That's a lot like Chi. I looked at what Chi's contributed so far, like just because she's been on so long.
Yeah.
She contributes with her time, but somehow she feels obligated to give us money too. It's a good amount of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Patreon. So if you guys want to get on my level, you better bump up to level 2. I'm a $10 Patreon guy. Yeah. So since the first week I started on the podcast, it's funny.
$10 from Shady Chick. She's kind of shady. Is that for sure going to hit our account or?
Oh, right.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, she says with the hopes that the amount of shots Emilio takes would be announced throughout the podcast. That's a good idea.
Should have a shot counter. Count. Yeah.
I should take shots every time. There we go, Chi. I'll take shots every time we get a donation.
I still like my track pants.
Oh my god, that would get. You have to put a limit on that.
That would get profitable. Is that the word you were looking for?
I played Five Nights at Freddy's and took a shot every time I died, and within like a half hour, I couldn't drink anymore.
I love Bobby's description of Five Nights at Freddy's because every time he got scared, he would hit escape because that's like the pause button. But in that game, it shuts it down completely to desktop.
Yeah.
So like,
wow.
So he'd be like,
up, game over.
Shut to desktop.
That's hilarious. I never knew that, Bobby.
And it was another great story Bobby has is when you were playing that real weird one where like there was a chick in the forest and it's like kind of like paper mache puppets, it kind of looks like. Anyway, you said that you forgot you left something playing. You forgot that you were streaming still, I think, and you were playing and it scared the shit out of you. And you played it on the podcast.
You're
like, like, this is great.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Good stuff. That one might
what was
be.
That game?
It's a weird game.
It was like an Inuit game. It was like in. It was a mobile game. I think
the art style is like kind of like South Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't, people aren't going to know what you're talking about through that.
There's a scary game that's like South Park. Somebody
speaking of South Park, I actually beat the game, finally.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was like, what else did I play this week? I beat Fractured Butthole. It was...
I've beat a lot of fractured buttholes.
No, it's not, it's awesome. It's a great game, and plus they have extra DLC to it as well. I might check out the DLC to extend the gameplay, because after you play the beat the game, they plug you back in so you can finish up all the side quests and whatnot. So I know a lot of people complain that it was pretty short. I didn't think it was too short. It was very satisfying beating the game, beating the fractured butthole.
Yeah.
So so I don't know, and the fact that they already have DLC out, maybe, I don't know if they're going to release any more anytime soon, but I'll check out the DLC.
It's a game I got to play at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Warconius. Okay. Where does the question start? Okay. So best use of licensed music in a PC game. To give you an example, my favorites are Paper Planes by MIA in Far Cry 3 and Sins of the Father by Donna Burke in Metal Gear 5.
Dude, fucking Borderlands 2, Cage the Elephant. Fucking, I bought the album based on the video game. Like, I bought that CD. I love Cage the Elephant. It's so good. They're a great band. And just that initial trailer. Do you guys even know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Can anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. When that trailer came out, they're all riding in like a truck. Who are they?
Yeah.
I need to know right
then. It's a great opening scene.
Yeah. Fantastic album.
I always think of my first experience with this, at least that really struck me, and that was a game called Battlefield Vietnam. Probably not the newer one that you're thinking of, but Battlefield Vietnam,
oh, yeah,
the original one, I think came out, it was like the third Battlefield game. There was like Battlefield 1942, then Battlefield 1, and then Battlefield Vietnam. I don't know, but I'm talking like 10-15 years ago this game came out, and it's been all but forgotten. It's not on Steam, it's not anywhere I've looked for it. I think you can download it for free online, because it's just one of those games that no one cares about anymore. But they would play on the actual disc, if you had it in your computer while you're playing, you would get into a vehicle and it would start playing songs from the 70s, you know, things that were popular around the time of
Vietnam era,
you know,
rock.
Creedence Clearwater, you know, yeah, shit like that. And it was the first time that I remember ever hearing actual music in a game. There must have been examples before that, but that was the first time I remember it. And
I dare you, Fastidious. But dude, yeah, that, because, well, if you're a little more into my personality, my favorite music ever, I think classic rock is the best movie, best music ever made, ever. And of that, the Vietnam era stuff is like top notch. So when that, another one where the trailer, they played the right song, and I was just like, oh my God, this is fantastic. That entire soundtrack is great.
So for me, I'm not 100% certain if they implemented the music into the game outside of the opening and or the commercial or credits. But for Assassin's Creed, when it was first coming out, they played, I think it was called Wood by Iron Kid. Or maybe his name is like Iron Wood or Iron...
Assassin's Creed 1?
I think the first or second one. Mm. One of the Assassin's Creed's very early on. Really, really good music. It's the one with like the... I could probably play it on my phone. But, and outside of that, also Bayonetta... LaRue's going in for the the kill,
yeah,
or is really, really good.
That's a great song.
It is a really good song.
I'd have to say, outside of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater,
who do they have?
Oh, Tony Hawk has so many,
a lot of good fun songs.
One and two both had amazing soundtracks, just by different artists all over the place,
like Rage Against the Machine and stuff. Or
they didn't have them, but things like that.
Okay,
like
gotcha.
Punk kind of music. They had a little bit of rap. But my favorite was Dead or Alive 2, 3, and 4. They had like Aerosmith as their, like as a theme, like through the opening credits and the ending credits. And it, like, the songs really fit what was going on in the CG movies. Like Dead or Alive as a fighting series had such an amazing story. I think by far the best out of any fighting series.
Mm-hmm.
And that Aerosmith, also I was a big fan of, made me get into the game more.
I'm surprised that Dead or Alive had Aerosmith in their soundtrack, because when I think of Dead or Alive, I think of like Straight from Japan fighting game.
Yeah. Well, the creator, I think his name is Tomonobu Itagaki, if I'm getting that correct. Mm-hmm. He was like a kind of a classic rocker. He had the look of like leather, always wearing leather and blacks and reds. He like had that old look of being a classic rocker.
Yeah.
So
that's
his personality.
So he would have fit in right with the Final 15 boys.
He would, actually. Yeah, he would definitely be one of those guys.
I'm glad we have someone on the podcast who appreciates Final Fantasy and Dead or Alive, because I just don't get that stuff. I have no idea what you guys are talking about whenever those come up. All right, next question coming from, second part from Warconius.
Oh, my goodness.
This one's for the old folks, he says. Back in the day, it was really common to either upload your own music. We should probably wait till Emilio gets back, considering he's the oldest. But we'll fill him in.
Hey, back in the day, I did this too. Come on.
Back in the day, it was really common to either upload your own music into a game soundtrack or just turn off the in-game music and play CDs on the stereo. Do you have any albums that make you think of specific games? For me, I would play GTA 3 with Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style album playing, and Nirvana's Nevermind reminds me of playing XCOM Terror from the Deep.
For me, mine's a short and simple, sweet answer. In The Sims, you can go in the files and change out the music that you play in the stereo. So whenever, and of course, sometimes they have different stations, and you could really put as much different music in that game. So whenever my Sims would listen to the boombox or turn on the music, I play my Sims just like I almost play real life. Kind of, not really. Outside of the part where I like kiss all the boys in the neighborhood. Oh, wait, no, I did that. one boy. No, anyways.
All the internet boys.
So whenever, like, I would wake up my Sim, I would turn on the boombox, jump in the shower, and I would play
my
music.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
God, that's the most meta thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Like, what?
You didn't get up and turn on your radio. You got up and told your robot.
My Sim.
Version, your Sim.
Yeah.
To turn on his radio.
Yeah. And then you jump in the shower. Yeah.
Whoa. Well, he's in the shower as well. So one on my mini playthroughs of Final Fantasy IX, I had two albums that I played. One was Beavis and Butthead, The Experience, which is like just another CD that they had that just had a whole bunch of different artists in it. And I would just do the same thing, mute the sound, play that. And also Warren G's G-Funk Era. Mm-hmm. I was a really big G-Funk, Warren G fan back then.
You know, one of the first songs I've ever learned choreographed dancing to was Warren G. I think it was Regulators.
Regulators!
I had track pants in that choreography, and I ripped off the track pants.
Oh, fuck yeah, you did.
Sorry, this is a recurring theme here.
Yeah. It's track pants is the episode of the name.
I don't know if I can really associate any music to games I played. I always turn off in-game soundtracks, too. I don't like to play, unless it's like a single-player game, like Gore, Guns, and Cannoli, I play that with the soundtrack on. Any sort of online competitive game, soundtrack
totally.
Goes off.
Yeah,
because it's usually only playing in the menus.
No, it plays during the game as well. What's unfortunate is Heroes of the Storm has like a lot of effort put into their soundtracks, like their in-game soundtracks during the game, but I don't even know what they are because I turn them off. But even in the past, I don't really remember ever playing music to while I played video games. I never really did that.
Yeah. Trying to think. I guess when I was, Binding of Isaac, I would always play like Pandora. And my Pandora station is so finely tuned because when I was an Uber driver, I would hours of just saying yes or no to things, and it's so finely tuned.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Same.
So I have one. I have one station that's just exactly right up my alley. And then besides that, I would say, and I guess Bobby could attest to this too, is like it's not really listening to soundtracks so much as doing other things. I mean, you too, right? Like while you're playing games, you just do other things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of depends on the game. But yeah, there's a lot of games where you can multitask.
Yeah.
All right. Another question coming from Duck. With the onslaught of games that basically require updates for bug fixes, completed content, and optimization, do you think this might be part of developers' plans to discourage piracy? These updates can make it necessary for pirates to repeatedly crack and upload the same game. The lack of auto update could also render save files useless if someone else needs to update. If someone needs to update to finish the story or play added content. So he's asking.
I've thought about this. Basically, do you put out an incomplete game in order to crack down on piracy? I think if you're mm-hmm. going to surmise that, and I think so.
I think it's a side effect. I don't think they do it with any intent. I think that's games are really fucking hard to make these days. They take a long time to make, and people don't want to wait for a game to be released. Like when it's all done, they want it now. So, and it's a lot better for developers to release the game early access, get that money coming in, then use that money to reinvest in the game itself. Like it's become so commonplace now, but having all that just to counter piracy, I don't know.
I think we brought this up last week, is when most AAA titles are putting in some sort of multiplayer to combat piracy. And I think that's the one that I would say for sure that's why they did that. Kind of like with Far Cry 5, remember we brought it up? That's mm-hmm. why they're putting that. People want to play that co-op experience, so that's why they're going with the. They're pushing mm-hmm. that. I would say that has a lot to do because, I mean, Crysis, poor Crysis. They tried on Crysis 3 that had the multiplayer. Nobody got into it, right? Was it Crysis 3?
I would know. I never played the Crysis series.
But anyway, I think they tried it and it didn't really work out for them because they're. They only put the multiplayer in for that. You have to also make it good. But I think, yeah, having an online component is them fighting people hacking their game.
I feel like they used to do that maybe 10 years ago, but I can tell you what they're absolutely doing to combat piracy is making games be more of a service and by putting in microtransactions. So I guess it would kind of fit along the lines of what he's talking about. You don't really just buy a game off the shelf, boom, there's your game. It's not just this product that you get. It's an evolving, ever-changing thing. It's something that you are a part of, and you don't really put a price on that. I mean, you can't really pirate that. I don't know. Piracy just doesn't really fit in the world of games that we've created recently.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be the problem that it used to be 10 years ago.
Yeah. That was like,
a huge problem.
Yeah. Going back further, 10 years ago, maybe not so bad. Yeah, it was bad, but go back to like the 90s or early 2000s. Like if you lost a gold copy of your game and somebody cracked that and put it out on the internet, you're done. That game didn't make any money. Like that was the worst possible thing that could happen to you.
So, and now you don't really hear about it as much.
You know how you can tackle these privacy, piracy issues? Huh. Just more in-game transactions. Just more.
Just game. More. Whatever. Yeah, just put those.
I mean, that's because they lose money on piracy.
If we don't get them with a real copy of the game, let's just force them to pay more stuff on.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Well, they lose money on piracy, but they also lose money because games are becoming more expensive to make and people still don't want to pay more than $60 for them. And this is definitely a point that can be debated. People have different opinions on if that's true or not, but another way that they try to combat that is with the microtransactions. So you buy a $30 game, but you end up spending. Yeah. Or free to play.
Free to play was like the reason free to play blew up is exactly that.
Can you imagine that? Like being a younger kid and saying, "Mom, I really want this game. It's $59.99. And she's like, "Son, you got unlimited games on your cell phone for free."
Yeah. and then the bill comes in.
How much rage, from that, right? Oh, and then the bill comes, that's so true.
Yeah. I remember I read this article where these guy's two daughters spent $10,000 on virtual fish.
Neopets? God. Oh, fish?
Yeah, fish for like a virtual fish tank.
Oh my God.
$10,000. And like,
wow.
He had to like argue with them, but eventually it came down to $2,000 and he paid it off. But like,
God.
Yeah. This is like, I read that article maybe 8 years ago, but it's a thing.
Hmm.
Huh. We have a lot. Is it worth? Did you read it?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, we got a last.
It better be good, dude.
A live listener question.
Yeah, we do have a live.
So you can ask listener questions on our Discord. Just go to dlgaming.net. You can find the Discord link there. If you're listening to the show live on Twitch, then you can just ask in the chat too, and we'll get to it eventually. But
maybe
if there's time.
Yeah, if we remember.
And we do have one here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wrote it up.
So. Coming from Beaks, how do you think Black Ops 4 is going to be? Will it be a futuristic movement system or boot on the ground for Battle BO2?
Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 2. And how will they continue the zombies storyline? Ooh, boy. I played like three Call of Duty games.
You asked the wrong people, man. Yeah,
I think we are the wrong people because nobody really plays Call of Duty here anymore.
Call of Duty, like, you can go back and you can play one like every 5 years, maybe. I don't know. It gets longer every time I say that. Like, I go back to play a Call of Duty game. I'm like, nope, still not ready. Every 6 years, you want to play a Call of Duty game. I go back to play one the next year. Nope. Every 7 years, play a Call of Duty
game. I feel like if you played one, you played it all. It's like, and the other thing that hasn't happened in Call of Duty in a long time is somebody being, and the world being like, oh, you got to play this one. Yeah. That has not happened.
I think Modern Warfare was when it was that. Call of Duty was its most staple. Black Ops 2 was a really good Call of Duty game, and I played that as well, but I didn't play too much of the single player, so I don't have much to like participate in this conversation. Yeah. But and funny enough, I still have a subscription to Game Informer, and this was their 300th issue.
It
was
their 300th
issue, and they released their top 300 games of all time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Modern Warfare, I believe, was top 10. So Call of Duty was definitely in the top 10. And this is my on-the-spot live listener question. I noticed that they gave number 3 to Tetris. How do you feel about that?
Historical sake?
Historically, I guess so.
But I mean, it probably overall hit numbers. Like gaming components? Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's tough. It's hard to find a person on this planet that don't know those shapes by heart, though. Yeah.
But at the same time, was it, when I think of like top 300 games, I think of, you know, play value and all of that
stuff. Well, think about everything.
I just feel like,
dude, Tetris got a lot of play value back in the day.
And think about how many games spawned from that. All those gem games, everything. Yeah. It spawned the genre. The drop down genre.
The story was kind of mediocre, too.
You know what sucks? That guy died
penniless in a hut.
Communism. Yay. Yeah.
Right.
But so we got a little off track there. And I think without playing a lot of the Call of Duty games, you can still have an opinion on this. There's been a trend recently, especially with Battlefield 1, to go back to the more boots on the ground, traditional shooters, World Wars. Do you think Black Ops, do you think we're kind of trending out of that and now we're going to go back towards futuristic shooters?
Well, there's Space One. Bombed hard, that was, right? Mm-hmm. And that had a futuristic movement into it.
Black Ops 3? Or was that?
No, that was 5.
Call of Duty 5? Modern Warfare?
Is that your thing? No, 4 is Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 5, I thought, was this baseline.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
But a weird numbering system.
They tried something new and it didn't work, so I would say definitely boots on the ground, and probably even like to the nth degree. They'll probably like do a Battlefront.
Fucking caveman with sticks. No projectors.
Yeah. More like a Civil War type thing.
Now, I'll tell you the best possible move they could make.
Oh, no. Call of Duty World at War.
And that is.
Stop making games?
No. To remake their most popular one. And I think they're actually doing this. They're remaking Modern Warfare or Modern Warfare 2. I can't remember which one.
Who the fuck knows?
People would buy the shit out of that. The Infinite Warfare is the traditional one.
Yeah,
people would eat that shit right up. That would be their best move, to remaster or remake that particular game.
Yep.
Little anecdote, I was a semi-pro in Modern Warfare 2. I had a sponsored team and everything that I was on.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. We traveled around. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, got a jersey for me?
Yeah, you have nothing to say
about
this?
Have any more. No, I haven't played it. Actually, I haven't played Call of Duty since Black Ops 1, I think.
I played like 15 minutes of Ghosts, and San Diego is in that game. It starts out, the opening scene is San Diego. They kind of fucked it up a little bit. It doesn't look right because it's all blown up. You know, it's like we're being attacked on our homeland. Yep. But you can see Petco Park, and you can see the bridge, the Coronado Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
There's a screenshot of it on my Steam page if you check that out.
I played that and didn't even realize.
Is that the one where you're like, you're getting bombs dropped on you in the first part of the game?
Is that the Call of Duty where you're getting bombs dropped on you?
the first portion of the game.
I have no idea.
You're running out of your house. And
it's,
like
it's Call of Duty. There's always bombs dropped.
Okay. Was it Jurassic Park 2? Was that also where the T-Rex was in
San Diego,
right?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they filmed like one part of that in actual San Diego.
But yeah, because most of it didn't really look it.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed Black Ops 2. Like, that was the last one I played all the way through. But before that, like, I had played Modern Warfare, which was great.
Wait, Black Ops 2, is that where they drop bombs at you in the beginning?
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah,
just want to make sure.
The bombs. It also had guns in it.
Yeah. The guns! How novel.
But, I mean, everybody played the first and second one. Like, everybody did. And then Modern Warfare was the pinnacle. I played that one. Then I took a long break, Black Ops 2, and I was like, oh, okay, these are good every so often. Ghost came out. I'm like, let's do it again. 15 minutes. Nope. Done.
Did you try Modern Warfare?
Modern Warfare?
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, yeah, that was
I don't know. The one that had Kevin Spacey in it.
Oh, that's Infinite.
Oh.
No.
No.
That one coming out.
Advanced Warfare.
That's the one. No.
That's the last one I played. I enjoyed that one.
That's one with Kevin Spacey, right?
See, yeah. But that was Black Ops 2 for me. That was me taking a long break from Call of Duty, and then I come back, and I'm like, oh, these are actually pretty good. But and then I think you were taking a long break, came back, played Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, Kevin Spacey. Oh, man.
Ooh.
You just got it.
Yeah, it's funny. Thing. There's a mini level in there where you can trap kids in a box. I don't know.
Nice. Oh, secret unlockable.
That's a joke. All right.
You're better than that.
Oh my God.
All right. I think that's all we got.
Yeah. Was that a long one? It felt long.
We also have the listener spotlight after
2 hours and four minutes. It's about average. We're averaging about 2 hours.
Yeah. What's funny about the length of the podcast is Bobby had a big issue with the length of it. He wanted to bring it down to about an hour, I think. And I'm always like, just let the conversation flow. If
with four people, we have to give it a little bit more room. But I always said we aim for an hour because we're going to end up with an hour and a half. Aim for an hour and a half. We end up with 2 hours.
Yeah. So he always pushed that, like, you know, we got to get down to an hour because he stopped listening to a lot of podcasts because they were too long. And then I'm on the other side of the spectrum. So then we did that like analysis thing where like we asked
our
you
survey.
Guys, yeah, our survey, and overwhelmingly everybody wanted the longer podcast. And Bobby was just like, you can't trust that.
They don't know what they
like,
want.
Like black and white. He's like, I know we did the survey basically answer this one question, but like 80%, I mean, come on. So what do we play next week? I guess more Vermintide for me. Whenever
Vermintide,
I have time.
Dark Souls 3. I'm going to try to get more of that in.
Cool. And that's a good thing to stream, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Streaming it.
Cool.
That's all I can think of for
me. For me, I'm going to crack a jacket, put my hand in the box, and it'll be a surprise.
Vermintide 2?
So
is that in the box somewhere?
I don't know.
Non-committal. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to finish Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2 this week.
So we can't play together.
No, we can play. We can do the co-op. You can choose which mission you want to do co-op. Every time I load up a game, it says you want to add players. So at any point in my campaign, I could add you or vice versa.
Cool.
Yeah, very flexible.
This is not going to happen, guys.
Well, the week following, I have a week off from work. So that's when I'm really going to get some gaming in. Mm-hmm. And I got to figure out. I'm going to put my hand in a lot of things and figure out which one I really want to get into for my week off.
Like a treat chi approach.
Oh,
like what
sure.
she just said, right?
And here's the thing, too. I will be going on vacation the last week of the month, but we should be able to record outside of my vacation. I'm not going for 7 whole days. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a 5-day.
Yeah, I'm going somewhere next month, too. Yeah. We'll talk about it later, though. Yeah, Vermintide. I'm going to keep playing Pyre.
Will Minnie convince Chi to play Vermintide? Find out next week.
Bum, bum, bum. So everybody good?
Yeah, stick around for the listener interview we got with Shady Chick on the VR.
Yeah. Anybody want to get anything off their chest or talk about their feelings or anything?
After we shut down the podcast.
Okay. Speaking for Bobby, not like Chi that spoke. Okay. So speaking for Bobby, Chi, oh shit, I don't know what I'm going to say. Minnie and myself, Vermintiddies, everybody.
Oh, God.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Mini Del Macho. We are trying a new segment, a segment that we used to do, but we're trying to revamp. This is a listener interview question. I am here with Shady Chick. Shady Chick, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Awesome.
How are you doing? Are you good?
I'm doing great. I've had a bit of drink, so I'm flying. I'm having a great time.
And I'm jealous. I wish I was flying too.
So where are we talking to you from?
So I'm right outside of Philadelphia. I'm in the Northeast.
Pennsylvania?
Yes, yes.
How far are you from Dunder Mifflin headquarters?
I don't know where that is.
That's
Should
in
I?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. What? Have you not seen the office?
I have, but that seems... Okay, I feel like that's kind of far.
Scranton? Okay. Well, if it's far, who cares? Honestly, what is your favorite type of pasta? What do you think about that?
I actually worked at an Italian restaurant, so very interesting question. I would have to say it's fettuccine because they're thicker, you get more out of them, and they're just delicious.
Fettuccine is my jam. I love that with Alfredo sauce and chicken. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's my jam.
And if you're a seafood person, Alfredo shrimp, too.
Oh, I just had that last week. You're doing this to me. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, and let's start getting into gaming questions. What got you into gaming?
So I probably started gaming when I was around 8 years old. My dad used to play Diablo with his neighbor we used to live in apartments, and he was down the hall and they would play together. And then his best friend had a daughter too, the exact same age. We went to school together. So we would watch our dads play with each other. And eventually we started taking over and we played Diablo together. And it kind of spiraled out of control from there. And gaming took over my life and it just became a big part. And I played Diablo 2, Diablo 3, and millions of other games from there. And ironically now, though, my dad isn't a big fan of gaming. He thinks it consumes a little too much time, but I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it stuck with you. That's what we're all... I mean, games, they're games. As long as it's not overtaking your life, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So what would you say is your greatest game of all time? What do you think is the pinnacle of gaming right now? Or not even right now, but like, what's your favorite game? Like, in the past, nostalgia included, what is your favorite?
Diablo 2, without a doubt. I don't know if that's all nostalgia, but I love that game to death. I love the PvP. I love the community. I don't know. I was so immersed just getting the gear. I had so many friends playing at the same time. But I do have to say that there was a lot of kind of mods out there and to replicate really rare gear. And I'm ashamed to say that I tried to replicate this one really good gear that I had because I wanted to sell it. And it hacked my account and dropped my entire inventory, which was probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of stuff.
Oh, I think that's happened to all of us at one point or another. Getting duped when we're kids. Promises of riches never come to fruition.
Yeah. Have you played Diablo 2?
I have played, I played a lot of Diablo 2. I got into PC gaming a little, my main PC gaming days were like Diablo 2 after Diablo 1 came out. I played Diablo 2 a lot. I played Diablo 3 quite a bit. I think I stopped a couple months in. But
who is your main character?
On Diablo 2?
Yes.
I actually had an account that had four different paladins on it. They all had different builds. I loved the paladins so much. So I that's the only character I played. Like, I played a little bit of every other character, and it just wasn't as fun for me. So I had, a hammer paladin, I had a fist of the heavens paladin, I had a thorns paladin, paladins that just were, specialized in certain attacks, like PvP, PvE. My account was just nothing but paladins.
I didn't have four of them, but I'm going to say that I felt pretty strongly about the sorceress.
Okay.
Maybe to the same level. I guess I can't say to the same level because, again, I didn't have four of her, but...
I had a buddy that, it kind of made me a little envious because he had a sorceress and just, wreak havoc on PvE servers. Mm-hmm. But I've seen you've been playing a lot of the, what's that new kind of fantasy medieval game? I've seen you play that a bit.
Kingdom Come?
Yeah, what do you think about that game?
So, I'm getting a little bit of mixed feelings. I've talked to you a little bit about it before, and I was saying how much I loved it, and I do still love it. And it's a really good game. They did a great job designing it, especially from such a small team. And if you look at the ratings, they have such high ratings. And I might be wrong. Don't quote me on this. But I think those ratings came out before the patches came out. So this game already had good reviews. And sometimes you would go to an alchemist and go to the alchemy machine, whatever that is, and you would shoot up in the air, and that was a glitch, and it was a terrible glitch, and you just wouldn't be able to do anything, or you can't turn in a quest. Yet it was still getting ridiculous scores. Like, it was that good. is that good.
Okay, so it's getting awesome scores with like near game breaking glitches.
Yes, and they fixed all of that now, so that's awesome. Yeah. But
go ahead.
But the game, it's in certain areas, it's a little choppy, or at least I feel like in the beginning it's a lot of fun because you're this weak dude, you have nothing going for you, and you're trying to make it, you're trying to survive. You can't carry a lot, you're
like a peasant.
A squeeb. Is that a word?
It is now. We just coined the word squeeb.
Yes.
I don't know, is that a squire weeb, a little lowly peasant that really likes anime?
I like that. That's probably subconsciously what I was going for. But yeah, that's what you are. And when you get stronger, some of that fun goes away.
Oh, okay. So you're not really, the world's not challenging you as much as it was. So it's kind of like being like in real life when you're lower level. It's like everything mm-hmm. sucks and you're just trying to mulch your way through it.
Yes.
Awesome.
But it's a lot more fun when it's not real.
Yeah, I mean, there's no downside to it.
Yeah.
Now, you do have a VR system, an Oculus Rift, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that currently?
So I got the Oculus Rift as a Christmas present from my boyfriend, which was the sweetest thing ever.
That is awesome. Hats off to boyfriend over here, Shady Chick's boyfriend. That's really cool.
I agree. I was like in tears, mind blown from it. And so I didn't know what to expect from it at all going in. And I kind of went crazy and bought a ridiculous. I just went top list of games and tried to see like when they came on sale, I'd buy all those games and just went crazy with VR. And when you put on the headset for the first time, for anyone who has or hasn't experienced this, they should experience this. And you put the headset on and it's so mind-blowing to see your hands move in this virtual world and you pick up these virtual things. I was almost crying. I think I might have been crying in the beginning. It's like this shock.
Oh my.
That you're in this world.
That's awesome. So what games are you playing on it?
So I played, again, I went crazy. So I haven't finished any one game, but I've tried at least 20 VR games. I've played Arizona Sunshine, which I highly recommend. It's a zombie killing game. If you get scared easily, I don't recommend it.
Really? Yeah, I definitely do. I can't play games like Outlast and anything really that's like scary. So people have been saying that they can't wait for Five Nights at Freddy's to come out so they can watch me play it. And because that game actually made me like, I was like on the verge of tears of just crying because that game was, that freaked me out so much. I actually have like a small phobia of animatronics. I don't know if that's a thing, but I have that. So that game like just completely just scares the living day.
Sounds like it was made for your specific fears.
It seems like it has been. Yeah, I have heard lot about Arizona Sunshine. It's probably gotten good reviews because I've seen some video on it. It looks really awesome, just blowing zombies away. But it's not mm-hmm. really like a dark environment. Like the light, it's very good lighting. Like you can always see the zombies. It's not like they're just yes. popping out of nowhere.
Yes, and that definitely helps. But you're also, what makes it a little bit scary, and I feel like maybe it's kind of like real life. Depends on who you are. If you're like, I don't know, Brad Pitt or someone in an action movie, you don't have this problem, but you have to kind of conserve your ammo. So excuse me, you have to conserve your ammo and you're fumbling around trying to find more ammo and there's zombies coming and you're in a car or you're trying to close the door, you're trying to get something and you're panicking because the zombies are getting closer and you don't have what you need. And it's that like that feeling of I feel like I'm about to die, or I have to face something that's about to get in my face and I can't do anything about it.
Okay.
And your brain believes it, too. Your brain starts to be like, oh my God, panic, like fight or flight. And yeah.
I have played some VR games in San Diego. They have some like VR arcades that you can go to. And yeah, VR games are really immersive. If you guys have been listening recently, Emilio said, like, I don't get immersed in worlds too well. But VR kind of forces you into it. Like, you cannot not think that you are in the world. So this Arizona Sunshine, you don't really feel like John Woo. You kind of feel like more like a squeeb, right?
I So, again, I guess it depends on who you are. So when you do have lots of ammo and you're not in panic mode, you do feel like a badass. And okay. A lot of what's cool about VR games in general, a lot of them, they just make you feel, just badass is the best word to describe it. It feels you have either swords or bow and arrows and you're doing all these crazy things. And there's no lag. Like there's no lag. There's no delay to your movement. So you want to take an arrow behind your back and shoot it at something. It happens instantly. And it's just such a satisfying feeling.
Oh, so you actually do the motion of grabbing an arrow out of your quiver mm-hmm. and firing it?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. is awesome.
That's you got to get bullets from your holster. You got to change all that stuff up and see it on your belt when you look down.
Okay, now I definitely want to get this now. This sounds really cool. Just the demotion of actually like physically doing the action required sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's this one game that I highly recommend. I'm trying to. Oh, it's called The Wizard.
Okay.
You might get a little bit of motion sickness from it, which is a problem in VR. When you're first starting out in it, you do get a little bit of sickness and you have to put it down from time to time.
Well, what would you say are the downsides of VR right now?
A lot of the games, they're not long games. To make VR games, it's very extensive for the game developers. So games are costing $40, $20, and you're only getting an hour of game time, which is rough.
Okay. Yeah, that is pretty rough. I mean, I'm sure it's expensive trying to get like the whole 360 view and program all the motions that you have to do. I can't imagine how difficult it is to create a VR game, because it is like a brand new front here.
And like you said, you have to design everything. You have to be able to look around and create that whole feeling. I know on the podcast, you guys were talking about Hellblade and how, I think if I'm right, if remembering it right, you can't turn around all the way in certain areas. And they did that to save some of the game development, like the designing.
Okay. Right? Yeah, well, no, you could turn around. It was pretty much like a third-person game. You could turn around at any point. But they did have, like, I think some, like, dark clouds all around, maybe to save on memory.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So that's how they got around it, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, God, that game was awesome. I definitely recommend you should try that game. Oh, man. I don't think I give Emilio enough credit for telling me about that game. Fun game. It's like AAA graphics, AAA story, AAA gameplay for a budget of, like, I think it was, like, $30, $40 maybe. Awesome game.
I keep hearing about it. I want to try it out. I want to see the girl who was the voice and the actress for this game, too. I keep hearing what a good job she did.
Yeah, definitely. I follow her on Instagram. Really cool girl. Any other games you've been playing on the VR?
Oh, so...
The Wizard you're talking about.
Yes. Super excited about this one. If you want to feel like not a squeeb, if you want to feel like you're in an action movie. Actually, there's two games that really give you that feeling. But The Wizard, you're a magician. And to do the magic spells, you have to move your arms in a certain way. And to your point, like getting the quiver out or getting the arrow out of the quiver to do these motions. So you have to either to get like a magic shield out or create fire versus creating ice spells. You have to follow the movements, and it actually works. There's no cheating your way around the movement. If you don't do it correctly, it's not going to happen.
Wow. And one game that's been making a lot of news recently is that lightsaber music game. Have you seen that?
I've heard about it. It kind of sounds like, I'm not sure if you heard the game Audio Shield, but I'm not sure.
Oh, Audio Shield. Yeah, I have seen that.
Is that similar?
It seems similar, yeah. But Audio Shield is kind of like you just put your hands out and you absorb the mm-hmm. orbs that are coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's like actually like these blocks are coming towards you, and there's arrows on the block saying down, up, left, right, and you have to hit them with the correct lightsaber, left or right, being red or blue, in the right direction, like left, right, up, down, and you're making mm-hmm. like kind of like a DDR motion, but with these lightsabers.
That's really cool. If it makes lightsaber noises along with it, I'm...
Yeah, it seems really cool. It's called Beat Saber is what it's called. Yeah, it seems really interesting. Something that I'm actually going to check out my local VR bar and see if they have that in stock, because I would love to play that.
Mm-hmm. How much does it cost at the VR bar? What's the going rate?
It's actually very reasonable. I believe it's like $20 an hour per person is what it is. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Maybe I think if you can get like bundle deals as well if you're going with multiple people. But yeah, it's really reasonably priced here.
Yeah, and go with a bunch of friends. I'll join in the virtual.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try to get a DLG crew to go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually our schedules don't mesh well, but at least we can get a few people going. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny if you guys do game night and if you guys get a VR set to watch you do some of the scarier games.
See the
reaction.
Have a Digital Logic stream and we're all playing games that are just knocking us on our asses in reality. That'd be awesome.
There's a new VR game coming out. I don't think it came out yet. It's called Contagion VR. It's a zombie game, and I recommend everyone to look it up because it looks fantastic and horrifying. I'm so conflicted because I'm a pussycat when it comes to scary things, and I just don't know if I could handle it, but I want to give it a try.
Yeah, I played Contagion back actually a few years ago, and I didn't know it went VR, but yeah, that is definitely a scary game. It's kind of like a Left 4 Dead, but you're much less powerful, and you're just trying to survive and help your friend survive. It seems like a really cool game.
Like would you VR. Try it?
Yeah, since it doesn't have automatons, I'd be okay with that. I think I'd be okay with that. All right, Shady, I think that's all the time we have. Anything else you want to plug here?
Oh, with VR, the only one other thing that I could probably add is it is absolutely fantastic way to work out.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. That's I didn't think about that till now, but that does seem like a very, very efficient. Are there like actual workout games?
Yes. So I recommend Box VR. There's circles and different things. They're flying towards you to a beat, and you could actually upload your own music. So I put a bunch of rock, you have hip hop, different songs into it. And as the songs are coming, you punch your way depending on what it's showing you. And I want to say working at the treadmill, I am getting the exact same amount of calories being burnt as this. And I checked on my Fitbit. It's living up to a real gym workout.
Oh, wow.
Which is nice.
That's really cool. All right. Well, yeah, any other listeners that want to do a listener interview, go ahead and hit us up. You can find us at our Discord. We are at dlg.net. You'll find all our social media information, or hit us up on Discord. Any one of us will be happy to do an interview for you. We'll set you up. And it's been a really good time meeting you, Shady. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me do this. It was fun.